It's Tuesday, which means State Senator Dan Katowski is back for his usual It Ought to Be a Law segment. And we'll also check in with Adam Selzer just before his Super Bowl of events, Halloween. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, I am Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and it's autumnal again. It was downright summerish yesterday. Today it's autumnal again, but I love October, and I kind of like the ups and downs we're having. I'm not looking forward to it being blisteringly cold on Friday because my boys are dressing up for Halloween. No one wants to wear a coat over their Halloween costume. We're trying to figure out what's going to look good with layers. I myself have a Batgirl outfit that I think will work with long johns and tights and things like that. But you look like you're very cozy, warm Rob Martier in your Blackhawk sweater.
Well, you know, I'm a little disappointed because every time I wear my vintage, old school, coho, throwback, fighting strap on the back jersey, which I love, the Blackhawks lose.
Don't
every time
that.
I put
Rob,
this
Rob,
jersey
Rob,
on,
stop.
They lose.
Stop, because people are going to come down here and remove that from you physically.
Well, they should.
No, because superstitions run so strongly with hockey players, it seems. I mean, I think, would you say hockey players are the most superstitious?
I would say
that baseball players are probably the most superstitious.
All the basketball players. Wasn't there one guy who said he would never clean his shorts or something?
The shorts that he wore under his game shorts?
Wasn't that what it was?
That one guy was Michael Jordan.
Was it Jordan?
Nasty.
Yeah. He wore his UNC shorts under every game he played.
What point do you think he's doing that because he's superstitious or because he knows that no one wants to guard him? Or, like, at what point are the other...
No one could guard Michael Jordan.
No one could guard him. They're, like, they're weeping from the stench.
Yeah, Joe Dumars did a pretty good job.
What,
Joe Dumar?
He did not do a good job. A good job compared to what?
Compared to the rest of the league.
Right, exactly.
Dumars was great for the Pistons.
He still didn't guard Jordan. No one could shut down Jordan.
All right.
I didn't mean to pull the lid off that one.
Sorry about that.
Really? You took that personally or something?
I'm upset, actually, because Rob just said that he cursed the Blackhawks game. My wife and I were at the game tonight, and she's never been to a loss until tonight.
Oh,
and
so she was a good luck charm.
And I heavily blame that on Rob Martier.
Because
I brought my good luck charm, and it was trumped by his bad luck charm.
Yeah. I think that, it seems like, I think it's a wash. I think when you have a good luck charm and a bad luck charm, I think that you can now start all over again.
Got it. Right.
Independently of Betty going to the next game, you cannot wear, now what you do is you don't wear your jersey again. Or when you wear your jersey again, Betty cannot go to the game.
Okay. And I even wore my...
Yes.
Oh, look at that!
Red Chuck Taylors.
Oh, he did. I told you I would go home and get mine, and I forgot. But they do not go with this dress. I apologize.
No. Well.
I don't have enough Blackhawks gear. I just have a t-shirt. Bill Cernunnos, do you have a Blackhawks sweater?
No, I don't. Quite honestly, I
know
don't.
You and I both. I'm
but
sorry.
I love the Blackhawks, though.
Me too. You and I both sound like we want someone to give us a Blackhawks jersey,
I wish
a sweater.
Would buy me one for Christmas or something.
I know. We sound
out
like
in Radio Land.
We're pouting right now, aren't we?
I know we are.
If only someone would get me a Blackhawks jersey, a sweater.
From the 847, Rob, you better burn that sweater, otherwise I'm holding you personally responsible for any future losses.
Yep, you know what? I will. I'm not going to burn it, but I will put it back in its rightful place, deep in the closet. It'll be put away.
Oh. What else is deep in your closet? I'm just curious. Like, what kind of things
you know what? It was actually when I removed this particular hockey sweater, it was stuck in between two Canadiens jerseys.
What?
So
what happens next Tuesday when they play the Canadiens? No. Are you going to wear two jerseys?
No.
Hold on a second. Can we go back to that moment where you said it was stuck between two Canadiens jerseys?
Yeah.
I see the basis of your problem. You need to have a separate place, a different place to store it. Why is it stored with these other jerseys?
Well, because that's the jersey storing closet.
That's your section of the closet.
Is that
all your wife allots you?
Yeah.
Do you get, like, because it is kind of amazing where women have an entire closet and shelves, and here's your hook.
Oh, Patty, you have no idea. I've got a teeny tiny little section of our huge walk-in closet.
This actually brings up an interesting point that I wasn't planning to share with you guys. I wasn't sure where I was with this. And I had forwarded this article yesterday. I don't know if Craig saw it because, first of all, I am a hoarder electronically and physically in my home. And there was an organizer who says the way to pare down is that when you pull something out of a drawer or out of your closet, does it inspire joy? then you keep it. If it does not, then you should get rid of it. I have two bags of clothing that are now going to the Goodwill store just from having read that. I held something up because I'll hold something up and go, I don't really fit in this, or my arms look kind of fat in this, or I wore this to that one party where that guy threw up on my shoes, whatever it is. So if there's anything that has negative or does, although I will say this, when I read that, does it inspire joy? I opened my pajama drawer and I was like, these all make me happy. Everything I sleep in makes me really, really happy. I threw away no.
That's awesome.
Getting rid of no pajamas. I told my husband that.
Do you have any feety pajamas?
I do.
Okay. Cool.
I do have a,
you seem like
set.
The kind of person that might have at
have
least
a,
one set.
I also have a weak bladder. As many people know, I'm a frequent peer. That's why I sit on the aisle seat when I fly. I am a frequent flyer and a frequent peer, so it's hard for me to commit to that. And Spanx are also very hard. But no, I told my husband, I said, you need to start paring down. Mm-hmm. If you see something, only keep the things that inspire joy. And he goes, all I'm going to have are Christmas things.
That's cute.
I thought that was adorable. I love my husband.
We just got a text message from the 312. Joe Dumars and Michael Jordan faced off in 22 playoff games. Jordan averaged 30 points a game. Take that, Rob.
All right. You know, I'm not saying that he didn't.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You know, it's fine. We can skip it. I just want to read the
look,
text.
Like I said, I didn't mean
nice
to lift
to
the lid off
wow,
that one.
You really
I, you know,
did rub him the wrong
holy
way.
Holy cow. Jeez, I know everybody loves
me.
Michael Jordan
text.
In the city, but, you know.
That's not me. It's 312.
My apologies.
I was reading.
Hey, look, if I could take the comment back, I would.
I don't even know what's happening.
I was reading the text.
I don't remember who Joe Dumars is. 720 WJ. Good. That's a good sound.
Now that didn't even go off tonight at the United Center.
That's okay. We can play it ourselves. You know why, Bill Stronis?
Why is that?
The Blackhawks have been voted the in possession of the number one horn in the NHL.
Absolutely,
the best sounding horn there is known to mankind. Yeah. At least in hockey, I don't know what the horns there are that you get excited about.
No, it's fine. The best horn ever.
Best horn
in all of horndom.
Ever. Horndom.
They win all horndom.
Horndom is a good place to go.
Yeah. What's happening?
That's that story you told me we should not do.
Gotta find out
more
Joe Dumars stuff.
Oh, jeez. Here we go. By the way, you realize next Tuesday is Election Day.
It is Election Day.
We do.
Right.
Before we address Election Day, I do, since we're still on sports, for just one moment, and
yes.
We're talking about Joe Dumars, who I don't recognize the name. I'm sure
Detroit
back in
Piston.
The day, I'm sure Milk I was excited about us beating them.
Bad boys.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that was
Rob Martier, huge fan. Huge fan, Rob Martier.
Okay, so what did that cab just do? What is happening on Michigan Avenue?
A pedicab or what?
I don't know. That cab just backed up all the way to the horse, and I suspect that someone's going to get out and try to jump on my horse.
Attack, Patty, attack.
No jumping on my horse. Okay, so I was not a big football fan as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Not like my dad was a big baseball guy. Loved, you know, what we'd watch all kinds, every baseball game there was that we could get, mostly the Cubs because Channel 9 was our station. And my dad, not a Cubs fan, except for when he was a really little boy. So anyway, not my story. When I was a kid, though, when I was growing up, the Chicago Bears started just kicking ass and taking names, and all my friends were really into the Chicago Bears, so I started watching, and they won one game after another game after another game. They lost one to the Miami Dolphins that year, and but one of my favorite players, I loved Jim McMahon, you know, when he was wearing his headbands and protests. He had he had Nike first and got in trouble for that, and then he put the commissioner's name on it, and then Singletary and Keith Van Horn and Tom Thayer, just an amazing team. Oh my, Gary Fencek. Oh, it was ridiculous.
One of my all-time
Richard Dent.
One of my all-time favorite Bears players works at this radio station. Dan Hampton.
Dan Hampton. He was on that team,
phenomenal.
Too.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
So today, I was in the hallway, and Jimmy DeCastro was coming out of his office, and he said, oh, meet Patty Vasquez. And he was with a gentleman wearing glasses and a coat, and a jacket, nice blazer. And I stretch out my hand to shake hands with him, and he goes, this is, I'm sorry. I'm going to get old. He said, this is Kevin Butler. And I don't know what my crazy eyes look like, but I'm pretty sure I went crazy eyes because I couldn't. I was like, Kevin Butler. I'm pretty sure I made a lot of different noises like that. And you know, it's a good moment when you ask your boss to take a picture of you.
he needs to take your selfie selfies.
I couldn't do it. Like, my hand would have been shaking the whole time. I had to have someone. And to his credit, Jimmy DeCastro took an excellent picture of Kevin Butler and me. And so I was just thrilled. It ended up in only one picture. So, like, that's a risky moment when you don't want to sort of step on someone's boundaries. I kept saying, is it okay? Is it okay if I take a picture with you? I couldn't. I was like a kid. And then I walked into Todd Manley's office, our director of programming and content, and sat down on the couch next to Craig, and Stephanie Menendez was there, and I sat down, and I was like, Kevin, I was still amped. How amped would you say I was on a scale of one to the couch? I was like,
a million.
It was nuts. It was a little nutty McNutters.
Like you had just eaten a whole bunch of some kind of sugar.
And I said, I was out of breath.
Yep.
I was excited.
You
and
were.
I told you all that Kevin Butler was out in the hallway, and Stephanie looked confused, and you tried to explain to her who he was, and then what did you say? Say what you said. Repeat the words that you used that came out of your face.
I can't do that until I give people context as to what we were talking about. One of the people in the room didn't know who that was.
Yes. She's not from here. She did not grow
up
here.
And so the person in the room who didn't know who it was said, who is that? And I said, it is the Chicago Bears kicker. And she goes, oh, no, the current kicker is someone else. And I go, well, not right now, or he doesn't matter now, as in he's not the one kicking now, Patty. And then you reacted to it, and everyone in the room seemed to be a little sorry for me because you reacted to it a little upset.
Oh, I cussed.
Yeah.
I use a word that would get us in a lot of trouble right now.
Right, but in context, what it meant was not that he's not important. It meant that he doesn't currently play for the Bears.
Yes, but I heard not important, and my I went into convulsions.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of two conversations happening at once where someone overheard part of the conversation and then didn't understand the context.
Apoplectic.
Yes.
Apoplectic.
So that's what happened.
Yes. That was, oh my gosh.
Right.
It was.
So he certainly is an important, well-known, well-regarded guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's not currently kicking footballs for a professional football team.
He's Kevin Butler.
He sure is.
Oh, it was
great
amazing.
Great guy. It was really cool. I walked in. When he was walking in, actually, we got off the elevator almost together, and I kept staring back at him because I knew I recognized him, and we're just walking in together, and I keep thinking, I know this person. As soon as
it's Kevin Butler.
Yep, as soon as everyone introduced themselves, I'm like, wow.
I locked eyes with him, and I could feel I'm like, I look crazy
so
right now.
So I was psyched to meet him, too,
mm-hmm.
which means he does matter.
Oh, he so matters.
Right? He just isn't currently kicking
Kevin
for
Kevin Butler. And then people on my Facebook were like, he got old. It's been almost 30 years, people.
Yeah.
He's 29 years.
He doesn't look exactly the same.
Time gets it. It's not like Renee Zellweger situation. I know, that's terrible.
You know, she looks normal. Did you see the photos from her today?
Okay, can I tell you something about that, too? We talked about this last night. I really believe that some of the publications did use a different filter
to make it look highlight.
Yeah, because if you put a filter on me on Instagram, there are some that are more harsh, more severe than others.
Sure.
And I feel like some of the ones that went online they looked darker. There were others where...
If you move your face in a certain way and you do things, and then take a picture from one angle, you can look different.
I have antlers coming out of my chest. Yeah. It's very strange.
Because the photos that came out make her look like Renee Zellweger.
There you go.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened there.
I think it was the lighting. I think she didn't wear as much makeup,
yeah.
all that stuff. So the hullabaloo, but I think it generated an interesting conversation. I think a lot of it revealed a lot of what we think about movie stars, about getting older,
mm-hmm.
about plastic surgery. I think that when you know time has passed, it's hard to accept that everything isn't going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that people thought of her as like a. Do you think that she was a screen sweetheart?
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so. I mean, Bridget Jones and the stuff that she did was very.
Did you like that character?
I think that that's an iconic character for mm-hmm. someone that you really try to, connect to. I think a lot of people that I know try to connect to that character and really love the
whiny.
Character.
You can say she was whiny.
Of the whininess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't love the movie, but a lot of people that did.
I thought there were definitely wonderful moments of humor, especially when they had to wear, like, the Christmas sweaters.
Yes, that was fun.
And they're both, like, just humiliated that they're forced to wear these reindeer sweaters. What do they call them in England? Jumpers?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think they call them something else. What do they call jerseys on the ice? Sweaters.
Sweaters.
Yeah. So this has been. It was, and then I love. You know what Todd Manley said to me, guys? He said he loves knowing that JP is in the building. So apparently,
yes.
because it's a part of Walter Payton is a part of us as well. I think is kind of cool. Payton, so much fun. I mean. We really experienced such a great moment in sports history growing up watching the Bears. I know that Craig, you were not, but did you? How little you were not quite? No,
when they won, I was not really alive.
Not
very
born
much.
Yet. Yeah. Okay. So
wow, you are young. Jeez, to be young and
Rob.
I also grew up on the East Coast, and when I was five, my New York Football Giants won the Super Bowl. Well, okay.
For those who don't know, Jarrett Payton, Walter's yes. son, yes. works over on our little brother station. Mm-hmm. 87.7 The Game. He's on with Spike and Harry.
That's right.
Harry
and,
Jarrett.
And his sister also works for
Brittany,
the company.
Brittany
yes,
does the
does stuff
best,
for Channel 9.
Best
yes.
of Chicago.
And I covered Jarrett when he played with the Alouettes in Montreal when I was up there.
Sorry,
was Mark Trestman his coach?
No. No.
No. No. All right, then. So we've covered everything. And and we have to invite Connor McKnight, Mark Carman, and Lauren. Gosh, I can't remember.
Lapka.
Thank you, everybody. Lapka. She's adorable. Maybe a little too cute. I mean, just, but like smart and funny and also loves comic books and action movies. I mean, I you know, she's got to be every guy's just like listen to her show and just like, you know, I've got to meet her. I enjoyed meeting her. You're listening to 720 WGN. It's pretty late.
Oh, yeah. This is a call to all. It ought to be a law. Put it on the book, Springfield, and pass the boat. This is a call to all. It ought to be a law. Put it on the book, Springfield, and pass the boat.
Oh, yeah. That music means it's time for It Ought to Be a Law with State Senator Dan Katowski. This is your chance to call the show. It's 312-981-7200. Let us know what you think needs to be put into legislation and at least introduce. We'll introduce it on the floor of the Pretty Late show. I don't know how this stuff works, Senator. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. How are you tonight?
I'm good. It's autumn. How are you revving up for Halloween?
A lot of revving. A lot of revving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I have one son, a freshman, who's going as Mike Ditka, and I have another mm-hmm. son who, believe it or not, is going as a toilet bowl. And it's
wait, what?
A toilet. He's a toilet. That's what he wanted to be for Halloween. So
Is it a social statement on the direction in which our morals are going? And perhaps, you know, it's our chance to keep going to turn around before we're all flushed down the
I don't think it's that deep, Betty. Okay. I just think he thinks it's funny. I mean, he thought he did pretty well in a costume contest last week. But the problem is that the candy goes...
The candy goes down the toilet? The
candy goes down, and that's where it's held. There's a holder. There's a packet or the garbage can, the bag to hold the candy is underneath the toilet bowl. What an intricate
sounding costume.
Does
what?
It make a flushing noise when he gets the candy?
No, but you can't flush. My wife designed this thing. She's brilliant.
Your wife made this costume?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How do you look at your son with a straight foot when he says, what do you want to be this year, sweetie? I want to be a toilet.
Is it going to be weird if I start asking Dan Katowski's wife to make me costumes? Can we go there?
Mm-mm. No, our listener right outside the showcase studio wants her to make a costume as well.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does.
I would think that would be appropriate. I don't know if she'd say yes, but I mean, you could always ask.
All right, good.
Well, for our listeners who don't require your wife's costume-making skills, we invite them to call at 312-981-7200 or text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. Let us know what you think should be a law, and you can win a $25 gift card to Paisano's Pizza and Pasta. And what we do is we take your law, whether it's whether it's written to us or if it's a call, if you phone in, tell us, and give us your story, and we will vote on it and decide which one we think should be passed. I have one that was sent to us last week. And so we'll start things off with Ranger Hannah's because first of all, Ranger Hannah has a lot of really nice things to say about our show. First of all, I love your show. It's awesome. Keep up the good work. But she wanted to submit this. Where she works, they only allow service dogs. And because there's no way to tell if a dog is actually a service dog or not, when we enforce this, we merely ask the dog's owner. Everyone absolutely everyone responds that their dog is, of course, a service dog. In most cases, I have my doubts, but there's nothing I can do about it because we just have to take the owner's word for it, which is tough. I mean, I think that anybody could say that. And not only that, Senator, you can actually go on Amazon and buy a vest that says service dog, and there's no requirement for that. I mean, I probably shouldn't have even said that, should I? Because now people are going to go do that. I apologize. Well,
you know, interesting. I was wondering if the person was going to suggest that we add the dog into the mix as who we should scrutinize and ask.
Right.
Whether or not, right?
Right. What kind of tricks can you have? What kind of things can you have a dog do to prove?
Is this person legitimate? Do they really need you? And
can you vouch for your owner?
One of the things that in all seriousness, I met a lot of people down in Springfield last year who had brought dogs. Were able to detect whether or not a child or adult was having seizures, and they could be trained to do that. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of that before. So I imagine, I don't know that, you know, again, another question would be raised, like, is this a widespread problem where mm-hmm. there are a lot of people bringing dogs to work and they're claiming that they're service mm-hmm. dogs?
This is where she works. She is a ranger, actually. And I would argue or contend that there are probably people in a lot of different situations who claim that their dog is a service dog who is going to argue with someone and say, prove it, you know? And I'm sure there are people who are. But because there are, you know, there are obviously laws and rules for parking in a handicap space, right? You have to be registered. You have to have, you know, with the state of Illinois,
sure.
you have to have a legal and medical documentation that you are an individual or have in your family an individual with a disability. Why wouldn't you do the same if you want to have your dog have access?
Well, I could say it would be the form of, I guess, we'd have to, I mean, it's a good example. We have to look at other ways of validating whether or not you have any kind of a pre-existing condition or you're allowed to be able to get the the opportunity to get certain type of exemptions and
right.
what allow for in that
right.
case. And so I think that's an excellent point. I mean, that's an example. Like, these are the questions people ask. They would say, okay, does it happen? How often does this happen, number one? Number two, who else could validate that? Number three, I mean, are there cases in the state where they're doing this with other situations? So mm-hmm. this is what happens when questions are asked about a particular policy initiative.
Yeah, I mean, because if people take advantage, they do so at the risk of it being impossible for other people to bring their service dogs. Because, you know, what if you say that your dog is a service dog, now you get in some place and your dog is not as highly trained? Because these are highly trained animals. You know, they are trained, like you've mentioned, the dogs that are specifically for individuals with epilepsy. There are dogs that help people who have diabetes, who are people who are deaf or blind. All different kids with autism rely on service dogs. But what if your dog is not trained and then is actually poses a danger to either other dogs or other people, you know?
It's... Well, the other question, what it's like, what's under the definition of service dog? What, you know, what mm-hmm. What challenge does a person face that they would be, you know, enabled or be allowed to have a service dog? And mm-hmm. I don't even know what that, if there is a legal definition.
Right, a criteria
involved.
For that? Right. Well, I think we have criteria for what it makes you eligible for handicap placards, right? You know, whether or not that's
sure.
physical disability. So, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing there's a way to do it. I guess it's just more bureaucracy. But I think it's kind of a smart point that Ranger Hannah is making for us. We also have a caller on the line who wants to talk about this. Joe wanted to hold on. We'll make sure you're locked in. There you go. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
It sounds like a no-brainer, kiddo.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, for a placard is required for handicapped parking. There's two varieties, one that's more all-encompassing mm-hmm. and the other that's kind of basic. If there isn't a law that requires a dog to carry an ID tag mm-hmm. certifying that it's an assist dog, there certainly should be a law to make that a law.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I agree. I think that there should be a way to regulate that. I don't, and I think we all agree on that. So far, we have Ranger Hannah's in the lead. It looks like she might be winning a gift card if we don't get other laws submitted to 312-981-7200. Thanks for calling, Joe. Did you have a law you wanted to share?
Well, that was it.
No?
If there isn't a law that requires a dog to carry a tag, an mm-hmm. ID,
mm-hmm.
that's the same thing as a parking placard.
Yeah, that is, I think, that goes along with what Ranger Hannah's saying.
There isn't a law that
nope.
dogs don't carry that tag?
Nope.
Doesn't why not?
I don't know. That's why Ranger Hannah suggested it, I believe.
Oh, she already did. Okay.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
So I was redundant. I didn't know that she wanted to.
That's what she wants. Some sort of rules and regulations established so that that they have to have to be required to carry identification with them, tags or whatever it is for the owner.
My faux pas.
No. I'm grateful that you called in.
Okay, kiddo.
All right. Talk to you later.
I was actually thinking that we had a first for a segment here that someone was actually calling in to endorse a law that was proposed.
I know.
Yeah. But there was so much passion being generated by the idea that we were at calls coming in. So
I know. I was, but Joe felt very strongly about it, and it just so happens that he agrees with what Hannah was submitting. Let's talk to Adam before we go to a break. Again, 312-981-7200 to submit your law by text or by phone call, like Adam is calling us right now. Hey, Adam, what's your law you would like to submit?
I would like to submit something against all the attack ads, political campaigns,
right?
And instead of people, you know, continuously bashing and slandering their opponents, actually tell the public what they're going to do to change office,
right? Right. If they're not, so across the board, I mean, it's sort of hard to quantify and qualify what is considered an attack ad or what is, factual. Because it seems like they do take facts or take things out of context to their own, to prove their own point. So that would be a tough one. But I think that a lot of people would agree with you. This has been a long election season, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to continue with the mayoral race, but yeah, that's right around the corner.
Did you see how much money the new candidate has? I think his name is Jesus, and I think he's got like $3,000 up against Rahm Emanuel's millions. I mean, we all have to start somewhere.
$8.5 million or whatever he's got.
I feel like giving Jesus a few bucks. Just to make it interesting.
I'd rather see someone, actually go into a commercial and say what they're going to do to change what's going on in the political offices instead of bashing what the other guy hasn't.
I agree. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. We'll see if that's the one that wins. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Again, give us a call. It's Ought to Be a Law with State Senator Dan Katowski, 312-981-7200. Your law could win a gift certificate to Paisano's Pizza and Pasta right after this. If you're watching on the live stream, you're probably wondering what I'm doing. If you can't hear the music and you just see me twitching, I'm actually dancing to I Fought the Law and the Law Won. You are listening to Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio with State Senator Dan Katowski on the line. And we're taking your calls. The phone lines have all filled in, Senator. People want to get their laws across now.
Awesome.
Here we go. Let's start with make sure I got everybody locked in. Hey, Ed, what's your law?
My law would be is that currently, as of right now, as to my understanding, when it comes to alternative fuel resources, let's just say electricity, that if I put a solar system in and can actually put make more electricity than I use, that ComEd would not actually pay me for the electricity that I push back into the grid, that they would only give me a credit. And I recently looked into this and knew a company to install a system into my house, and he's like, you'll never get that credit back, and the only way that you would be able to do that, to use that money, would be then to change like my hot water heater over to electric, electric heat, so on and so forth. So when you start doing the numbers and everything, like in my instance, it was a $43,000 investment, and you can go ahead and subtract all the government rebates and things like that, you're still talking $20,000+.
Right.
And I could never get rid of a bill from ComEd because I'm still going to get a bill for about $20 a month for the meter and everything else, and then if you look at an average household of $100, so it's $80 a month savings.
Right. And I'm guessing
whatever credits come back.
I'm guessing right now, I mean, what you're asking, the law should be that it needs to be reconfigured, that if you are using alternative energy, such as solar, that it's easier to recoup your investment and also somehow, you know, sort of get a deal on that. So right now you're only getting a lateral credit, which really isn't recouping your costs, right?
Exactly. So where is the motivation for the general public to invest in alternative energy sources when you can't do anything?
Okay. I like your law. So the law would be a way to encourage people to use alternative energy. I think I'm trying to think of the way to word it. So I've got that one written down. Thank you, Ed.
Right.
Hold on. Let's see. We've got, hold on. Let me make sure I put him. Is that one? Which, how do I do this? There we go. If I could just talk on the air about how to push the right buttons, I think this will go very smoothly. Carol, what's your law?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Roner's campaign bought our phone numbers, and I think there should be a law since we have non-listed numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting inundated with political calls
and robocalls
in the night.
Right. I'm so sorry, Carol. Yeah, I think that was one of the things, Senator. Didn't they change that with the robocalling? Everything except for political calls?
Mm-hmm.
You could be on a block list. Right. So yours would be including political ads, political
yes.
calls. Okay. So add political robocalls to the list of blocked numbers. Thank you, Carol. Let me put you on hold. And then we've got Jim. Jim, what's your law? I like your law. Go ahead.
I think the city should be required to provide a minimum number of disability or handicap parking spaces, just like businesses. The ADA law requires any business with parking lots must have a certain amount of designated handicap parking. I think the city should be mandated to do the same.
I agree. I know that there are some placards that that then qualify you to that make you exempt from paying the meters, but they changed that
right.
in the last year. So, yeah, I think
in January of this year, mm-hmm. they made it the requirement that if you are handicapped and you cannot reach up to pay or, you know, lift your arm up or you cannot walk to the pay box, you are given a different placard which allows you to avoid paying the parking meters.
Right, and that's something I think that has changed across the country. I think that we are actually more, you know, a little more strident when it comes to enforcing handicap parking. David, I appreciate that. I mean, Jim, I appreciate that. Let me put you on hold. So more handicap parking availability in the city of Chicago and exemption for handicap parkers. And we also have David. David, what's your law? Oop, 1 second. Hey, David.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, my law is, and I encountered this, I had my family in the car, and I got pulled over by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And he said I was speeding, and I said, no, I wasn't speeding. I'm a truck driver, and I asked to look at the radar detector or the radar, and he said he's not required to show me. I ended up losing a day's pay going to court, and I asked the state's attorney if why I couldn't look at the radar that they clocked me, and they said in Illinois that they don't have to show you how fast you were speeding. So that means they could write down any amount. And what I would make the law is that they would have a radar gun that would not only show your speed, but the image of your car, so that when you go into court, you know, you don't have police just writing tickets. I haven't had a ticket in 30 years, and I got a ticket, and there was nothing I could do. And you go into court, and because the state is so broke, they worked out a deal, and it still cost me $100, and I wasn't even speeding.
So,
and there's so many cars.
Right. So, David, your law would be the police have to show the badge. Oh, show you the radar numbers. That's what it is. Okay, that's so.
Radar.
Show you the radar.
With the image.
Okay, gotcha. So you should be able to take a screenshot of that, even give you the ability to take a picture, have your own. I don't know. They're very protective of their evidence, aren't they, Senator?
Well, it sounds to me, yeah.
Well,
in
here,
this particular case.
Let me take a quick break right here, and we'll try to further discuss when we come back. 720 WGN. All right, we have all of our bills submitted. Do we have anything texted that I should acknowledge? I don't want to ignore anyone that's been trying to get through. I know that we got a lot of calls.
We actually did get one pretty good text here. Let me get to it real quick. Mm-hmm. From the 312. We also got a suggestion from the 847 that Dan's son could walk around with his iPhone and play a flushing noise. So that's a pretty good idea.
How do you like that?
Whenever he takes candy for trick or treat.
How do you like that, Senator? You could have just a sound effect.
I don't think we need to pass a law for that.
No.
But
no, you're right.
From the 312, to help alleviate rush hour traffic, all trucks should not be permitted to drive during rush hour. But one I like even better than that, that's one of two laws, is that if a cable service provider does not arrive within the window they claim they will, they should have to pay a penalty back to the homeowner for waiting. So those are his two laws.
Okay. So I'm sorry. How would you shorten that one?
312. Well, there's two. He wants the homeowner to get a penalty if the cable provider doesn't show up on time for his installation. Mm-hmm. And then he also wants trucks to not be allowed on the road during rush hour.
No trucks, like semis?
No trucks,
like,
none. So you relieve the rush hour traffic by getting rid of trucks.
Yes, but then your goods are not being delivered, I would say.
That sounds interesting.
Probably. You know how many bars would not have their beer on time? I think that people would be in an uproar.
It supposes that the trucks are the problem at rush hour.
Maybe it's all the other. Maybe it's that guy. Maybe he should stay at home and wait for his servicemen to come for repairs or whatever. Okay, so not to make fun of our listeners who very strongly. I did. That's my fault.
These are the questions that people ask. Well, yeah. Is it the trucks at rush hour, or is it the fact that you have, you know, what percentage of the cars are going to and from work?
Yeah.
You know,
or just people in my way. It seems to just be people in my way during traffic. Okay, so here are our laws. We have Ranger Hannah with there should be rules and regulations identifying service dogs. And there, Adam would like to have legislation against attack ads. Ed would like a better motivation for alternative energy. Carol, what was Carol's? I just have Rauner is the thing that I have here. I apologize.
She said that Rauner, Rauner purchased people's phone numbers, and that should not be
allowed. Oh, I'm sorry. So that's robocalling. The political ads should also be on blocked numbers. More handicap spots from Jim. David wants police to show the radar proof of the number. And our 312 wants the homeowners to be reimbursed for absent workers for, you know, when you're waiting for them. Okay, so I'm voting for Ranger Hannah for service dog identification. Do you guys, I hope everyone's got my very quick list. Rob Martier?
Yeah, I'll go with the service dogs. I like that one.
Service dogs. Bill Cerrones? I'm sorry, not Bill Cerrones. Hi, Susan Burgess.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? I'm sorry.
It's fine. No
Welcome
problem.
To another round of It Ought to Be a Law.
I'm with Rob on this one.
The service dogs?
Yes.
We have a front runner, Craig.
I like getting a penalty if the cable company doesn't show up in time.
312, the cable company doesn't show up in time. And Senator, it's up to you now.
Well,
it's not really, actually.
I really like the incentives for people using alternative forms of energy.
Oh, for Ed. Okay, so the senator votes for Ed. Ranger Hannah runs away winning. So that's for the service dog legislation. Thank you so much, Senator. And I wish you the best Halloween weekend with your toilet and Mike Ditka. At any point, will Mike Ditka be sitting on the toilet?
I don't think the toilet's strong enough for that.
I'm sorry, that's a bad image. That's all just really weird. Hey, if your kid's gonna dress up as a toilet,
I think that weird. It was actually pretty funny.
All right,
you are
just curious.
Comedian. Yes.
I try. Well, thank you, Senator. We will not be talking to you next week. I hope you have a great Halloween. We'll be back again because I'm in Los Angeles and it's election night next week and we're going to have some news folk in here getting the returns. So you get some rest and we will talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
You too. Thank you. Thank you. Pretty late. And I'm glad you found us. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with historian, ghost tour guide, and author, Adam Selzer, who is in studio. Oh, yeah. Bring that microphone all the way. I didn't even set you all up there. I feel like I just left you hanging.
I got it.
There you go. And you have released a book just recently in September called, hold on a second, Play It Backwards?
Play Me Backwards.
Play Me Backwards.
Play Me Backwards.
Yeah, I don't think you play me backwards. How do you play me backwards? That sounds very...
It's metaphorical.
It is.
Very deep and symbolic and everything.
What's the metaphor?
Well, I didn't get that far.
Oh, no. So this is a young adult novel.
This is a young adult novel, yeah.
But that's fun for everybody. I mean, it's...
So I think so. You know, really, when we talk about YA, it just means the protagonist is probably a teenager, and that's really about it.
And don't you think that, I don't know if it's Twilight, I'm not sure, when did it start where more adults were kind of getting into the young adult sort of
Harry Potter, really. Harry Potter made it kind of socially acceptable to be seen reading young adult novels for a while there.
Would you call Harry Potter young adult? Because it almost seems juvenile.
It was more middle grade, but okay. if you could read a middle grade book in public, then you could sure as hell read a young adult book as well.
That's a good point. So. Were you one of the, like, early on with Harry Potter?
I was pretty early on with Harry Potter. I got in around the third book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got in, so I don't know when the book started coming out. I think I got in 2001. My dad had just died, and there was something about the idea that love never goes away that sort of touched me. And you're right. It was Harry Potter. Where you could read kids' books and not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
So your book, Play Me Backwards, is this is perfect timing because it's a Halloween
season.
Right.
Well, yeah. It's more of a winter story, really. There's snow all over the place.
Satan.
In it. Oh yeah, there's Satan too. Satan is kind of like Jeeves to the guy's Worcester.
Okay, sure. So. Okay, I think that's a reference. Craig, I'm going to go ahead and he's getting here to chili. Let's. I was going to ask you if you know what Jeeves and Worcester are, what that means, because I was going to have you explain it to people, but Craig's got it. So if he does, then everybody. I mean, you know, I have to be explaining what Jeeves and Worcester is. I think.
It was a series of stories by P.G. Woodhouse. It was Worcester.
Then I don't know P.G. Woodhouse.
Worcester is this complete bum of a human being. He's a, you know, idle, rich, young British man, whereas Jeeves is his butler, a very good sir, whipping up hangover cures and getting him out of jams. And they're hilarious to read. You know, they're from the 1920s, and they're still just hilarious to read.
I knew the name sounded familiar, but I could not put it into context with what the stories were about. Okay, so now I've got that.
Right.
So Satan is Jeeves,
he's Jeeves.
Jeeves.
Well, in this book, the Leon is, I did a book several years ago, my first book was called How to Get Suspended and Influence People, and it was all about this gifted pool hooligan who gets in trouble for trying to make an avant-garde sex ed film called La Dolce Pubert.
Nice.
And in this one, he's 18 years old, and he's now become a complete slacker. He's not sure if he's even graduating and doesn't really care. He's got this terrific job at a B-list ice cream parlor where all they do is sit in the back listening to true Norwegian black metal and eating all the mix-ins.
As you would.
Yeah, as you would. I mean, well, it actually came out of almost out of real life. When I moved out of my hometown when I was about 15, but when I came back a couple years later to visit, I went to see my friends at work, and they were all working at this ice cream parlor.
Really?
I don't think they did any work at all.
They just ate the mix-ins?
They just sat in the back eating mix-ins and smoking and listening to Norwegian black metal bands.
And then, okay, so...
The guys from Slipknot would come hang out now and then, I think.
They're nice.
Early days of Slipknot.
Where are you from originally?
Des Moines.
Des Moines. And so this ice cream shop, is an ice cream parlor? Do they have the old fountains?
It wasn't that nice. No,
no green sodas.
Like that. No.
River, is it Green River?
Green River, yeah.
I love the idea that you imagine. Isn't it weird when you go to, like, whether it's your old neighborhood or somewhere you used to work and someone's still there and you're like, oh, I escaped.
Yeah. I mean, I went to the grocery store where I worked for my first job 20 years ago, and there were people I recognized still in there to this day.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And not that it's anything bad. It's just that someone has decided what they're good at or where they're comfortable or this is what they need, and you've found other things. But sometimes people kind of get into a loop.
I think so, yeah.
And it's weird to kind of get into the – it sucks you back a little bit.
Some people you can see they're going to be buried in their name tags, you know.
I worked a lot of name tagged sorts of establishments.
Oh, I did too. Years and many. I have a whole long list. I got like a bulletin board full of old name tags, like my trophies, you know?
Well, and I think those kinds of experiences probably kind of lead you to be a writer, to be an author. Because,
I think so, yeah.
Because if you had a lot of jobs, you also had a lot of first days. And there's something about being trained how to do something new that really means that you have to be open to different experiences.
Up to a point, I very rarely had a job where there was much training involved. I remember one place there was like a CD-ROM program to show us how to wash the dishes.
Really? Oh, man.
It's not like it was complicated or anything.
Well, your wife is confused. Like, what? You never told me about the CD-ROM on how to wash dishes. Turn the hot water on.
Right.
Slide it into the... Those are always, like, kind of fascinating to me, that huge machine where you sort of, like, the silver doors.
Yeah, the Hobart.
What's it called?
The Hobart. Hobart makes a lot of them. They make fine equipment, the Hobart does.
So your character, what's his name?
His name is Leon.
Leon. So he's a high school senior.
He's a high school senior, complete slacker. Mm-hmm. But then he finds out his old middle school girlfriend might be moving back to town, and he realizes, oh my God, what have I done with my life?
As a senior in high school, as you were.
Realizing, you know, I don't want her to see me like this. Like,
what have I done with my
she's
life?
She's moved off to England, and, you know, she's probably off hanging out with Shakespeare or whatever you do over there. Mm-hmm. And here I am just, you know, putting on 20 pounds, eating all these Reese's Pieces, and watching my friends try to get drunk off of the vanilla syrup because there's a little alcohol in it.
Nice. Yeah, there is, actually. Don't tell anybody.
Right.
And how does it know his best friend is who?
His best friend is his officially named Stan, but he's been claiming to be Satan ever since he was about 9.
Oh, nice.
And seems to have, like, some kind of finger on the mysteries of the universe. He'll give you weird advice, and it seems to work out. He's kind of the voice in your head saying, nah, don't do your homework. Beat another level on the video game. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a hangover. Let me mix you up a hangover cure.
Yeah, I think we've all had a Stan and or Satan in our lives.
Yeah, you know, the for whom you're the idle mind, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, no kidding. We've all got a little devil on our shoulder. Mm-hmm. We are talking to Adam Selzer. He's written the book Play Me Backwards, and we're going to catch up with him a little bit more on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. We're dancing a little in the All State Showcase studio. I should probably tell my guests that we have cameras in the studio. We're live streaming, too. It's probably we are on WGNRadio.com, and right now I'm live in the All State Showcase studio with Adam Selzer, who is a historian, ghost tour guide, and author. We're talking about his book, Play Me Backwards, his latest release, and you have several books that are young adult.
About a half a dozen of them, yeah.
You have a dozen.
About half a dozen, yeah.
How long does it take you? Like, when? Well, let's just go with this one, Play Me Backwards.
That one seems like it took a very short amount of time, but I kept moving away from it because it seemed like it was so uncommercial. I had to go do something that would make me more of a living.
Right.
Well, it got started a few years back. I got into a Twitter discussion about Christian young adult novels, and I thought, well, I'll do one for the Satanic kids.
Sure,
and I think I tweeted
kids.
Out like half of the first chapter just in the middle of that chat, just as a joke. I'm going to really write this. This is fun.
Well, it's not even like large font, so it's not like you did it in a short time and just put like fewer words on the page.
It's a pretty good length YA novel.
Well, and I'm looking at just a couple paragraphs, and I'm like, this. I mean, like, it's really your style is very wonderful to sort of follow along and enjoy the story.
Yeah.
So this is a book about a young man who's a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. His grade school love is coming back home from England, mm-hmm. and he's worried that he doesn't meet up to
what
the guy
what she might remember. Yeah,
yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. So, I love that he would be 17 and like, I got a shot.
Yeah.
I got a shot at this.
Yeah. Up to a point, well, he's been very, very satisfied with his life as a slacker. And there's a line in there, you show me a guy who wants more out of life than an easy job where all you do is eat candy, and I'll show you a greedy bastard.
So, what more could you want?
Yeah, what else do you want out of life than that?
And how much of your teenage years do you bring in? I'm guessing a lot of it. Or people that you knew?
A little people I knew, little bits. Like I did have to call a guy and say, okay, I just heard a rumor about this. I don't need you to confirm or deny, but did you really drink that much vanilla syrup in one night, and what was it like?
What was the buzz like, man?
Yeah, what was the buzz like? Was it actually possible? He denied that it was really a gallon, more like half a gallon.
And
yeah, he said it's hard to tell if you're drunk or sick at that point.
It is. And there's also sugar involved.
There's also a lot of sugar involved. He says it tastes kind of like engine oil, only sweeter. You have to literally choke the stuff down.
Ugh. And we're not encouraging anyone.
We're not
to
encouraging
do
anything.
No.
Certainly, I hope that doesn't sound like we're glamorizing
no,
anything.
No, we're not. We're actually making it sound pretty terrible, but you never know. And now, when you sit down to write a book, comes a point when you know the story kind of where it's going. Do you have like the memories of your characters? Is that the kind of writing that you do where you start imagining them when you're doing other things, what your character would be saying?
Up to a point, yeah. Depends on which character, some more than others.
Right.
Like Stan, the Satan character, I can always come up with a funny line for him in any given situation mm-hmm. that we get into. Probably nothing I would say out loud myself.
Right.
Well, sometimes.
It depends.
There's more of me in Stan than I'd probably ought to admit.
That's well, but at least you get to put it somewhere
yeah.
for your book. Do you have do you make yourself write at a certain time of day? Like, is there a time
usually
that's sacred?
I get up in the morning. I'm usually the first one in at the coffee shop at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I know. I tweeted you at 7 and you tweeted right back at me.
Yeah. So I'm usually the first one in there. I'll write for a couple of hours.
At your coffee shop?
Yeah, at the coffee shop.
Oh, you're a coffee shop writer.
Yeah, I'm a coffee shop writer. There's no cats bothering me at the coffee shop. No dishes to do.
I found a page that showed why cats are the worst for trying to get work done around. Why do they lie on keyboards? What is it with the keyboard? Why? I mean, it would be one thing if it was the mouse.
I'll try to read and the cat gets on my face, like literally lies down on my face.
You weren't doing anything with this, were
yeah.
you? Let me just glom onto your face. We're going to need a picture of that at some point.
Oh,
the cat
that can
sitting.
Be arranged.
Very nice. So you know, I like working outside of the house because then I also am not tempted to like clean or do other things. Does that kind of part? We have to get away from temptations?
Yeah.
Sort of be
isolated. Too much to do around the house.
And it was, now your first, what was it like writing your first book? Because now that you're a half a dozen in.
Oh, yeah, my first book.
Oh, let me think way back. You're such an old man.
The first chapter was a college project in my creative writing class. And then the rest I was doing in between Starbucks shifts.
Oh, wow. You were a barista?
Yeah, I did off and on for about a 5-year hitch.
Wow. And how good were the benefits? Because everyone always says if you need health care.
You know, I found they talked a big game, but I didn't know anybody who ever qualified for it.
Because they would keep you under minimum.
They would keep us under the minimum hours. It was tricky.
Oh, wow.
They talked a big game. I felt like they spent a lot of time, money, and energy convincing us that they were a great place to work for. And then when I mentioned, you know, I make like $7,000 a year working here, they'd say, we're a good employer. We have good opportunities. And I go, that's not what the food stamps office said.
Right. Oh, that's wild. Yeah. I think that's what people, they're like, oh, you know, if you need health care, just go work for Starbucks.
It's hit and miss. It depends. Like with anywhere else, it depends a lot on who your manager is.
Right.
If you get a good manager, it's a great place to work. But for a while, they were just so focused on getting more and more and more and more stores that they couldn't really keep the quality of personnel that they wanted.
Okay. And do they? Is it also the franchise owners that kind of give them pressure to keep the hours down?
They're not franchised. It's all corporate.
It's all corporate?
It's all corporate.
I don't know why I thought that. I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
There's like a couple of franchise stores anywhere that are owned by celebrities or something.
Interesting. Now, I will say that Starbucks across the board. I'm sorry we went into this territory. But
sure. My second book was called Pirates of the Retail Wasteland. We called it Wackford's Coffee instead of Starbucks.
Oh, really?
The kids take over a Wackford's Coffee and turn it into an accounting and mid-level management strategies office to see if anybody can tell the difference.
Really? Because so many people that are just doing work there anyway.
Yes, you know, when I worked there, I didn't really feel like I was working in a cool coffee shop. I felt like I was working in an accounting office, really.
Yeah. I love that. And how did you guys ever divvy up the tips?
I don't know how that worked, really. Yeah. I think it went by took the total number of tips and divided by your number of hours.
Oh, so, what a pain.
Something like that.
Yeah, and it came out to like 77 cents.
Yeah, it was like $1 an hour extra or something.
We are talking to Adam Selzer, who has written the book Play Me Backwards, and it's gotten a lot of really fun reviews. Mordantly funny. How do you respond to that kind of mordantly? I mean, is that ever? I went to Google and see if it's ever been used in a review before. It's mordantly funny. I really, this looks like a fun book. We're going to keep Adam here for a little longer because he's got a lot of great books. We want to talk to him a little bit more about Play Me Backwards, a book about a slacker who may or may not be hanging out with Satan.
Yeah.
There we go. So this is people know what they're getting themselves into. It could be spooky.
Also, there's a lot of swearing and sex in it.
Oh, there is. Oh, well, yeah. If Satan's involved, why wouldn't there be? You have to get temptation. Mm-hmm. Right back after this, 720 WGN. It's pretty late. Pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with Adam Selzer. He's a historian, ghost tour guide, and author. His most recent book is Play Me Backwards, a book about a young slacker who's a senior in high school who may or may not be hanging out with Satan. We don't know.
No.
Play Me Backwards.
You know, I just thought it would kind of take all the fun out of it if we said one way or the other.
Right. So, you don't know. It's a mystery. Because
the guy seems to have access to some knowledge of the universe. You know, he's able to predict the future with reasonable accuracy and gives weird advice like, you know, spend the next 3 months trying to find a white grape flavored slushy.
That's so weird. You just said that because I just looked at that where he tells Paige, I want you to come with me.
Yeah,
and
come find the white grape slushy.
What's a white grape slushy?
It's a mysterious slushy flavor. So they go through every convenience store, gas station, Target shop and everything all over the greater Des Moines area trying to find this mysterious slushy flavor.
Oh my gosh. I won't ask. Don't spoil it for me. Let me know if they ever find it.
And it becomes kind of like a metaphor, a quest to, you know, as mysterious as love itself.
Ooh. On a quest for whether or not something exists.
The search for the great white grape.
It is a lot like Moby Dick.
Yeah, that was the other assignment. Listen to the whole audiobook of Moby Dick.
Really? Do you know I've never read Moby Dick?
Most people haven't. You know, the first couple of chapters I think are outstanding, and then after that it's just so much about whales.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you're much better off reading To Kill a Mockingbird. I would say that that's a better way to go.
I love To Kill a Mockingbird.
I love To Kill a Mockingbird. I love the movie. I love the book. All of it. And the other thing that I wanted to talk to Adam Selzer about was his ghost tours. I know that you're very busy this time of year.
Oh, you notice my voice is kind of...
I know. I felt bad.
I'm like, not to sound like Tom Waits right about now.
I want to give you some honey and warm water. Susan Burke is up in traffic. Do you like ghost stories?
You know, I used to when I was a kid. Now I like the idea of ghosts. Like, are they real? And I like to think about it. And like you were saying the other night, you want a ghost experience, you know, in a more adult way.
Right.
Yeah, they're cool.
My concern is if there are ghosts, then they can see me naked. And that bothers me a little bit. Well, not that they have an opinion.
Can't.
Maybe they can't.
Maybe they can't.
Is that what she's wearing? I don't know why I have an old Jewish lady watching me. She's hanging out with me. But you, so the ghost tours, you work for a company that does it. They have a lot of different historians and ghost tour, I guess, storytellers.
Sure.
But you seem to really want to make sure that you have all the facts.
Yeah, it's something about me. It's me being a chicken in a lot of ways. You know, everybody can fact check me on their phones nowadays.
Oh, that's true.
Not that they ever do, but it's important to me to try to get the story straight. And that the research is so much fun anyway.
How annoying would that be if you were like giving a tour and everyone's at their phone? That's not what it says here. It's not what it says on.
Well, that happens. It's like, it's not what it says on this webpage.
This webpage
that looks like it's from 2002.
You're like, well, then go to my webpage.
Yeah, go to my. That's what I can tell them. I've got a whole iPad with Evernote full of all my primary sources and everything, so I can try to back everything up.
I've asked you about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre before,
sure.
And the H.H.
I can talk about H.H. Holmes for hours and hours. That's a whole other thing.
And the tragedy of the Eastland
Iroquois Theater
and the Oprah Winfrey Studios, all those. But off the air, I was telling you that I'm a former Hooters girl, and I know that there were stories about our basement where we keep the kegs and things like that, a lot of food storage down there. I'd always heard that there was something with the Great Fire and that there might be ghosts down there, but you said it's more significant than that.
This is the thing. When I first started the job, a lot of people told me the Hooters at Erie and Wells was supposed to be haunted, but nobody could ever seem to come up with a coherent backstory for it. You know, you'd hear like vague things like, you know, it was in the fire zone, you know, so is everything else.
Sure.
You know, I think I heard something about, we think maybe the mob used to have meetings there, and I can almost back that up. It was a neighborhood once called Smoky Hollow. A gangster named Hoops-a-Daisy Connors was born there.
I'm sorry,
Hoops-a-Daisy Connors.
Kind of a tough guy. What kind of tough guy can you be?
I don't know,
but
he was shot through the eye and the groin about three blocks from here.
The eye and the groin?
Eye and the
groin. At the same time?
I don't know if it was one bullet or two. I can kind of like trace the path of the magic bullet that went through both.
Poor Hoops-a-Daisy.
Poor Hoops-a-Daisy.
So it may or may not have been
to do with him. But what I did find was in the 1870s, the city of Chicago started providing all the medical schools with all the dead bodies they needed, because there was such a problem with grave robbing. So they decided, well, we'll stop the grave robbers. We'll put them all out of business. Didn't realize that it didn't really help, because there was still the huge market for bodies at the University of Michigan, the University of Iowa. So the grave robbers here would just dig them up.
Wait. So grave robbers were being paid by the medical schools to provide bodies. So they would go in and they would dig up
bodies.
They would
dig up recent bodies, you know, bribe the sexton, the cemetery manager to help them out.
Okay.
They would dig it up. The schools were paying like 30 or 35 bucks a corpse at peak season.
That's worth digging
somebody up. It's a month's salary in the coal mines back then.
Sure. And so how was the city providing bodies? Were they
the
paupers'
ones that were
graves?
Supposed to go to the potter's fields,
Okay.
They would go to the medical schools first.
Where were our potter's fields? Do you know?
At the time, as of the 1870s, they had moved over to Dunning.
Okay.
By Irving and Narragansett.
All right.
Before that, it was about where the baseball fields are in Lincoln Park.
So everybody knows the landscape of the city, and people know that Lincoln Park was also...
It was the city cemetery for about 20 years.
And a lot of those bodies were moved to Roseland?
Some of them were at Rose Hill, some of them were at Graceland, some of them were never moved.
You see what I did there? I combined Graceland
and
Rose Hill. Sorry about that.
And also, the very first place they tried was right where about where the water tower is now, at the time when they thought nobody was ever going to live north of the river.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Yeah, very, very short-sighted, that kind.
Does Rose Hill have property on the other side of Peterson?
Is it, I'm not sure what the boundaries are.
Yeah, because it looks like they're trying to expand into another lot. So at the property...
Yeah, so anyway...
Hooters. The Hooters bodies.
Yeah, so moving it into here. Grave robbers would just, in Chicago, and they were still a market elsewhere, they would just dig them up here and put them into barrels with labeled like poultry or kerosene. And at one point they had this barn where they were stashing all of these barrels to be shipped off, and that's where they were discovered. Ford. That barn was right about where the Hooters is. It mm-hmm. overlaps a little bit with it. I think more of it might have been in the alley behind it.
Well, that that basement, have you been able to go down there?
I have not been able to go down there, no.
It does look like it's connected to other properties. It's,
oh, sure.
It's more like a tunnel sort of a looking thing.
Yeah,
it's
all of the old buildings there were kind of connected by a tunnel, mm-hmm. all over the city. And it's underneath, they're like 40 feet below under the loop, there's like miles and miles of old freight tunnels. Mm-hmm. And the History Channel likes to make it look like Al Capone dug them out personally.
Right.
And really, they were there. They were always there. They were there for like mail and coal and stuff.
Right.
But anyway, what makes it interesting to connect it to the Hooters especially is the article that came out when these bodies were discovered. This is like the excerpt I like to read from A Ghastly Array, an article in the Tribune right here.
Nice.
Right where we're in the building of from February 28th, 1875. Description goes, hard and stiff, the death rigor intensified by the bitter cold. There lay upon the next slab the naked form of a beautiful woman. Stockings covered the feet and a portion of the shapely limbs, but the rest of her person was entirely nude. The head was turned to one side in a posture that would be natural to animate modesty. Although the changes of death had somewhat altered the contour of her body, the beholder could not but be struck by the shapeliness of her limbs and the general beauty of her person. But her parted lips and staring eyeballs made a Gorgon horror of the face that in life had been comely and attractive.
Whoa. And, that's an article from the Tribune?
Yeah, they would have never said that about a living person at the time.
Oh, God. You know, how specific.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So obviously, it was something you notice a lot of the grave robbing articles when they find these bodies. It's the articles about them are always obviously supposed to be kind of titillating like
right.
that.
Right. Right. Because they kind of have that leeway with something.
Yeah. If they were dead, it didn't count.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, why not sensationalize something that you kind of have a little bit of mm-hmm. more freedom?
There's actually one of them. They like laid all these bodies out in front of the police station and a whole crowd gathered around to see the dead naked people. The Tribune even mentioned, you know, they probably kind of regretted that decision around dinner time.
No kidding.
They weren't in great shape by then.
No, not at all. That's wild. And how did you, I mean, did you decide on a location and just keep having to dig?
With that particular one, I was just looking up general grave robbing articles and I tried to figure out where this was. I'm like, hey, that's right about where that Hooters is.
What are the chances?
Ding, ding, ding.
Do you ever watch any of like the ghost hunting shows?
No, you know, it's like a cop watching cop shows.
Yeah, it's a little bit too much. They're a little bit goofy.
And, yeah, some of them I think are better than others. That's all I'll say.
Okay, I've watched Jason and Grant on. I haven't watched for a long time because I went down to the sanatorium, the tuberculosis sanatorium in Waverly. I went to Waverly in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's a pretty cool property. It's massive.
Mm.
It's such a huge place, and they have like this. They say that thousands of people died during the epidemic of tuberculosis, and they have a death chute where they just used to have bodies like in bags and just slide them down the hill. It was very very odd.
Yeah, you know, I used to deliver pizza to the former Georgia Lunatic Asylum.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was still about half of the buildings are still in operation and half of them aren't. And just getting anywhere near the place, like, how does anybody ever have a good day here?
Oh, yeah.
And
no
there
kidding.
Were like, more people, more unmarked graves on the grounds than there were people in the town by like a 2-to-1 ratio at least.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the things. And I mean, I think that one of the things that probably that draws you to this is, you know, the unknown. Is that part
of it?
Yeah.
Sure.
And for, I mean, my son, who is 11 years old, he loves talking about ghost stories. He's very religious, but he also says, well, you know what Einstein said? Energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Right.
So it has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very scientific and spiritual about things. Mm-hmm. What are some of the questions that people ask you on the tour? What's the most, what would you say is the most common question that you
how
get?
How did you get into this is always the first one.
There you go.
And they always want me to have the story like, I never believed in none of this until one day.
One day, slowly I turned.
And for me, it would be one day I turned on Channel 9 and there was this show called Scooby-Doo. And a WGN, matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Kids
there you
in
go.
Chicago are having a good time.
Nice. I like that we've ruined you for life. Do
yeah,
you feel that way?
Yep.
We are. Do you want to hang around a little bit more?
Oh, sure.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more to Adam Selzer about some of the ghost tours that he's giving and the books that he's written, including Play Me Backwards, a book about a young man who's a slacker in his senior year of high school, wants to win back the girl from his past and may or may not be hanging out with Satan. Did I get all that correctly?
That is correct.
More with Adam when we come back. 720 WGN. It's pretty late. Thank you for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm always fascinated by ghost stories. And when I was a kid, I liked playing with a Ouija board, which is so strange that there's a game and toy company that makes
yeah, so
Ouija
always,
boards.
People ask me about Ouija boards a lot. I say, I'm not really convinced you can talk to the dead with something that says Parker Brothers on it. Not that we didn't try. I mean, my friend Ben and I used to contact a spirit named Jeb, who was an Illinois farmer from the 1840s, and gave us prank phone call ideas.
Oh, nice. Jeb. Jeb's
I'm
a troublemaker.
Sure, we were both moving the thing.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely. No, you did it. No, you pushed it.
Right.
I used to play with Ouija boards when I was a kid. And the thing is that, like, anything sort of random can happen that will make you think or reinforce what you already are afraid of. Mm-hmm. We were sitting on my friend Barb's bed, and it was one of those metal frame beds. We had our, you know, Ouija board, you know, sitting cross-legged with our knees touching and the board across.
Yeah.
Our knees and the one side of the bed collapsed. That'll scare you. That'll make you think.
Did you do the Bloody Mary thing?
I never. I think when I was in grade school, we actually did it at a, this is horrible, we did it at a Lutheran camp retreat. Because we had like these, at Wall Camp. And I know that there are listeners out there who've been to Wall Camp. I believe that was the first time. Because now this is the first time like 12-year-old girls are all staying like in a cabin together and access to a mirror and playing slumber parties and things.
Uh-huh.
Yes, so we did the that.
Yeah. How many times did you have to say Bloody Mary in the mirror?
I think it was five. Wasn't it five times?
For
was
me,
it three?
My school, it was 99. Everybody else I talked to was like 3 to 5. It was like, you guys are slackers, man.
Ours was like 5. Really?
Yeah, 99, then followed by Bloody Mary, come out with your axe.
I don't remember anybody. 312-981-7200. How many times did you have to say Bloody Mary?
I can imagine somebody's cousin saying, oh, yeah, you got to say it 500 times.
99.
No, you stay in the mirror.
Someone who's babysitting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's someone who doesn't want you to come out and hopefully you'll fall asleep in there.
Yeah, well, the weird thing about Bloody Mary is that we have no idea where that came from.
None. There's no origin
story. It's all of a sudden in like the 60s and 70s, every kid in the English-speaking world knew that. It seems to have been in Chicago a little bit earlier, really.
Well, that's where Candyman is.
I got some stories about people doing it in Chicago back in the 50s and stuff, which is a little early for me. Usually when something spreads like that, all of a sudden we can trace it to a book or a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody Mary, nobody seems to know where that came from.
Wow. And then light as a feather, but that's not really a ghost.
Yeah, that's hundreds of years old.
No.
Samuel Pepys' diary talks about that in like the 1500s.
What?
Yeah.
Samuel Pepys?
Yeah.
I love that it's Pepys, and I knew right away it's P-E-P-Y-S.
Yep. I'm so glad I knew how to pronounce that.
I know. He
talks about it. They don't say exactly the same thing. It's something all in French. And he's just amazed that it's like the closest thing to magic I've ever seen. And they were Protestants.
Lo and behold, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Yeah. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Did you ever play that one?
Totally played that one.
Susan, you played that one? Craig?
Yeah, it was like every slumber party.
Did it ever work for you?
It did.
It
really did. I believed in it, and I still kind of do.
You guys had really, really strong fingers. It was two fingers. You could only.
I think you distribute the weight enough.
Weren't you supposed to use two fingers? And this sounds really terrible, but right? Were you using?
Well, no, it was a group of people. So there were 8, maybe 10 people using two fingers or both hands. So maybe there was something to that.
Weight distribution?
I don't pretend to know the science behind it, but it does seem to work.
And boys, do boys do any of these things, Craig? Did you guys ever do any of these parlor tricks?
No. We didn't do... I don't know what to tell you. Maybe my friends weren't cool.
No.
We just played Nintendo 64.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah. No, we had Ouija boards and we told ghost stories.
We just played Bond.
We played, we did light as a feather, stiff as a board, froze each other's bras, put a hand in warm water, supposed to make you pee?
Yeah. Well, my favorite is you shine a flashlight in a person's eyes and shout, truck, and then you cream them with a pillow.
That's a new one.
That's fantastic.
That sounded like Schwarzenegger. Was that your Schwarzenegger, by the way?
Truck. That's awesome. I love that. I don't know. I kind of want to do that to my husband.
I was just thinking the same.
It's exactly the kind of thing she'd do to me.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. And by the way, nice. Now you have a new idea. I'm sorry. I forgot your name. Ronnie? Mm-hmm. Hey, Ronnie. Let me see if your microphone's right there. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is it weird? Does he like try out some of these the ghost tour stories that he's going to have to do with you?
He gets really excited about the research. He doesn't really... try the story out with me, but he'll tell me about the research he's doing
excited.
And what he's found. And he'll come home from the library where he's been researching all day and, oh my gosh, I found this and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, that's why I like the way you do ghost storytelling around the city because, there's an element of you try to have a historical basis for everything you're doing. And I think people come to it wanting to know the gory stuff.
A lot of people do, Some people are just like, well, can you just lie about it then? Really hanged himself from the ceiling there? He only killed 10 people, not 200? Well, this is a good thing,
Yes.
That's 190 people didn't get murdered. That's nice.
And how often do people on the ghost tours think that they see something? How often do they freak themselves out?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Is it partly the setup? Is there music playing on the bus?
No, there's no music on the bus.
Okay, just you talking.
But yeah, if I tell people, you know, people say that they've seen things, or people go out into this garden and feel like dizziness, shortness of breath. It's easy to see how, you know, psychosomatically it could mess with people.
Well, you tell people that, you know, some people feel shortness of breath.
Yeah,
or,
you know, I don't,
or
I say
cold,
it doesn't
like
happen with
patch.
Everybody. Yeah, I don't make too big of a deal out of the cold patches. But people have already heard that, so if they feel a cold spot, you know, they'll bring it up themselves.
Right, let them bring it
you
up.
You know, I try even to avoid mentioning the orb thing. Little white or gray balls of light that show up in pictures
dust.
That always turn out to be dust. Well, in a cosmic sense, mm-hmm. you know, those dust particles, the atoms making up those dust particles, were probably once bonded to molecules on human beings that are now dead.
So
in a cosmic sense, it's also beetle poop, but it's all, you could also say it's a dead person.
But, six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah,
you don't know. So, maybe the poop came off of that.
Atoms get around, you know?
They certainly do.
I got to find all kinds of polite things to say. As I get so many people coming, look, I got an orb. And I'm like, well, what I always say is, everything's a ghost tonight. We'll analyze it tomorrow.
Perfect. And the ghost tours are something that are year-round. So
all year-round, yeah.
It's a great way to learn about the city, but also
it's a great introduction to the city, really.
Yeah, and a fun way to sort of like all the stories that have been passed down, but with a historical basis that you bring to them. How do people find out about more of the tours?
Go to ChicagoHauntings.com. That's the company I'm working for these days.
And then your website is AdamSelzer.com.
AdamSelzer.com. More about the Satanic Young Adult novel, go to www.satanicya.com.
SatanicYA.com. That's Play Me Backwards. It's by Adam Selzer, and I'm looking forward to reading this. I'm also enjoying the chili that you brought.
Oh, thanks.
Because you texted me earlier and said, should I bring chili? And I was like, I don't know how to say no to pumpkin chili.
Yeah, pumpkin chili.
Is this your own recipe that you guys have?
Yeah, I've kind of thrown it together.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things that has fallen to my generation. You know, the couple of, you know, every generation has its tasks. Mine is to get people to click on two lines of text and to cram pumpkin into every possible food.
Oh, so I saw on your website, you have a recipe for pumpkin beer as well.
Yeah, a pumpkin root beer, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry, pumpkin root beer. So it's for everybody.
Yeah.
I love that. What other kind of recipes are you sharing on your website?
I did a pizza chili recipe one time. I find, you know, I get more clicks.
Did you like
my,
that one?
That was delicious.
Pizza chili.
Oh, yes.
So go to your website also for recipes.
Yeah, there's my election night stew. I posted the recipe for one. So
well, that's coming up.
Yeah,
people can use that. You better repost that.
Yeah, well, I probably should. It's more of a big presidential election when we get the whole gang together and, you know, make a giant pot of stew.
This is an important election, so I say you get your election chili going, your big pot. I mean, election stew going. Because otherwise you're going to let stew and things aren't going to get done. See how I did there? The governor's election.
Yeah,
right.
I actually did a whole ebook a while ago. I did the Smart Alex Guide series. We did the Smart Alex Guide to American History through Random House, and since then they let me spin it off on whatever ebook I wanted. So
nice.
Well, I got one of those Soda Stream machines where you make your own.
Isn't that great?
I love it, but I didn't like the syrups that came with it.
They're very chemical.
So I started making my own. So there's the Smart Alex Guide to Bootleg Soda.
Oh.
Which is about 100 different recipes of pumpkin root beer, copycats of various popular colas, and like including defunct ones that we managed to recreate. And then there's stuff like
Soda Stream hacks. I love this. What was that last one?
Pineapple habanero soda. That was really good.
And that's on
blueberry
your website?
Sage. You can find it on there.
Yeah, dig for these
recipes.
Yeah, you
can dig around a little bit. SmartAlexGuide.com will have it too.
Oh, I know what I'm looking for. That's fantastic. Oh, it's been so much fun hanging out with you, Adam Selzer. And let's have you back again soon.
I hope so.
Anytime. The door's always open.
I'm sure we're 4 or 5 minutes away.
I love
living in this city.
Oh, and this is the greatest city. We'll talk a little bit more about that next time because I want to know more about what brought you here and wanted to, you know, learn more about us. Ronnie, nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you too. Thanks for having me.
Of course, I will have you both back again soon. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGS. Thank you so much for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and I want to thank people for not jumping on our horse outside. The horses of honor are lining Michigan Avenue to pay tribute to officers who have died in the line of duty, end of watch. And outside of our studio, people seem to want to jump on that horse. And I've been able to be very calm tonight. And you know what else is helping? Is this chili. Our guest Adam Selzer made some pumpkin chili. We have a bowl left, Susan Berkus, if you want to come down and grab it before it gets cold.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah,
thank you.
Come down and have some of that.
Will do.
It's really tasty. I wouldn't say it's too pumpkin-y. Would you say?
No, I don't think so at all. The pumpkin-y is a nice, I'm not sure how to talk.
Component?
Like it's a nice accent of the pumpkin. but it's not overpowering the dish.
Mm-hmm. It's au de pumpkin.
Right.
It's not all
pumpkin. I would
pumpkin.
Say that you've got a nice little touch of pumpkin.
I like how your hand.
I have to speak like this when I do anything with food. I cook nothing in my house. I don't know how to cook things.
Okay, but you do this a lot when you cook. When you microwave,
when
do you push the buttons?
When I take a frozen pizza out, I take my hand like this. And it's got a great, wonderful pepperoni.
Is this like what they do when they're smelling spices, you think?
Or? I don't know where I got that from, but I'm only putting four of my five fingers together for those that aren't watching, yes. And I'm lifting my hand in sort of a, yeah.
I'm assuming everyone's watching.
Right.
I think when I'm at home, people are watching.
There's a pumpkin accent in the, yeah.
Well, Craig, we know how you cut that pizza after you make it.
Into slices.
That's a good point that she makes. Wait a minute. That's a really good point that Susan just made. Is it when people in Chicago make their own pizzas at home?
They cut them into slices, don't they?
They cut them into triangles.
Yeah, they do. They slices, not
triangles.
Squares. Right.
That's a really good point that she has made there.
Right,
yeah,
but not Craig.
That.
We know where Craig is coming from on that.
No, I'm saying that. But do you cut squares?
With me.
I'm saying that when I make I cut it down the middle.
You don't cut squares at home, do you?
I cut down the middle, turn it around, cut another one, so I've got triangles.
Yeah, you sure do.
Do you cut squares, Susan, when you cut?
No. I do triangles with Craig.
Yeah, no, she's discovered a brilliant argument that helps me, is that everyone who makes a frozen pizza always cuts it in slices. The only time you get squares is when you order out in a place like the Midwest.
Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's interesting.
I got squares in South Bend. I was in South Bend a few weeks ago and we got squares.
Did you yell at them?
No. My whole family is from Jersey, though. So when we eat the squares, we're all sad.
Sad?
We just sit there sad.
You just pout?
This is really good pizza, but I can't enjoy.
Wow.
My piece doesn't have any crust.
312-981-7200. When you cut your own pizza, do you
no one
cut
cuts
squares?
Into squares.
Somebody does.
Nobody does.
I bet somebody out there. Somebody's going to text in.
It has to be a bigger pizza, though. Because for a little one, that would be really quite. You'd have a little tiny
cook the one square. It's just a square.
I don't know.
My square.
Just squares cutting off the round parts.
It's just a little square pizza.
I have
but
stumbled.
But if it's a big square, like 3 foot by 5 foot, then mm-hmm. we're talking squares.
Do you guys remember the Pizza Hut jumbo pizza, like the big foot?
It was a big rectangle.
That was in squares, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had corners, right. So it had to.
It was a big brick, though, and that was an awesome pizza.
It was.
I was okay with those squares.
Well, because it was already a rectangle.
Right.
Yes. All right. So I have stumbled across
an argument for me.
A weakness.
Thank you, Susan.
Craig wins.
Craig wins. Craig. Whoa. Does that ever happen? Wait. Hold up a second.
Mark the time, 1:11 on October 29th.
I got it. I'm marking
2014.
It down. I'm getting a pendant made.
Are you really a pendant?
I think so. Yeah.
Are you
I don't
a pendant?
Know why I went there first.
Do
yeah.
I get the other half of the pendant?
You do. You it's do. Like, it's like we put them together and it says that Craig was right once.
Craig was right. And
right.
then yours is
and then the
and it
date.
Says once is on yours.
Plus, it's your birthday week, right?
It is.
It is
super my birthday
week. You get to be right and have a birthday in the same week.
Yeah. No, and I apologize for not making it sooner from the Blackhawks game, but I was celebrating my birthday with the Blackhawks.
Who are you apologizing to?
Patty Vasquez.
You were here when the show started.
Yeah, I know. I was in a mad rush to get here, which was very intense.
Was it intense?
Yes, because I don't know if you know this, but after the Blackhawk game, mm-hmm. taxi cabs are a little tough to get. A lot of people seem to want them.
Why didn't you Uber?
I did not. I don't know. I don't know if Uber would have been mad about having to come into that traffic and if they would have then rated. Do you know they can rate you?
Yes.
I think that if I force them to go to the game, they're going to rate me 1 star.
So if you order Uber and they it looks like one person's coming and then apparently they changed their mind, does that mean they went on and checked your rating?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've had a couple drivers say.
Have you? Cancel
yeah,
on you?
Patrick's not coming to get you anymore. Oh. Really? Who's Patrick think he
well,
is?
Well, find Patrick.
Yeah, be that way.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. My husband was mentioning that our car, we're having a little bit of car trouble, and he thought, what would we do if we had Declan? Like, we couldn't call Uber. Like, if a car broke down, it would be hard with our son who has autism to, mm-hmm. like, call Uber without a car seat or whatever. And I was thinking, like, you know, we have this wheelchair now. We used to have a stroller for him. And one of the challenges of having a child in general is the stroller. But I would say, Susan, I don't know if you ever came across this, one of the perks about having a stroller is your sort of carrying capacity. You have
yes.
that undercarriage.
You can put your stuff in it.
But I will say this. Do you know what? Once in a while, not by choice, but I would accidentally shoplift. Like I would.
Oh, that happens to me. But with a grocery cart.
I am confused as to what you said. I made a very confused face. That's why she's laughing. I accidentally shoplift a whole bunch of stuff.
I would occasionally.
In pockets.
I would occasionally.
Shirt. Under my shirt.
No.
A whole bunch of stuff.
I would occasionally accidentally shoplift.
Okay.
In the sense that I would get everything out to the car. I would get Griffin or Declan, you know, strapped in, whether it was the car seat or whatever, mm-hmm. and I'd start to collapse the stroller and realize that
you
I
paid
had,
for nothing.
No, just there.
Oh.
No, I would put the bags that were on the hooked, you know, whatever, but right. there would be an item or so left in the carriage of the stroller, and I'd be like, I've already put everything in the car. I've put my child in the car.
That was a freebie.
I'm gonna have to, but I used to feel really bad about that, and if I felt really bad, I would have gone back to the store. I would have taken Griffin back out of the chair.
You would go back in and admit that you walked out with the item?
I believe I would go back
in. Would
that
be stealing? Would they be able to get you in trouble for that?
No. I would not go in and say, hey, I stole this. I would I would go in and leave it on a shelf somewhere else. That's all.
Nice. Oh, good. Just donate it back. Fast fingers, Patty. Strikes again.
This doesn't belong over here. How did this happen? Right. Why is this butter over
by
the books?
We are getting texts from the 708. I have never cut my frozen pizza into squares at home, but I'm going to try it. Take it, Craig.
Okay. Our listeners just got belligerent
yeah,
with you.
Calm down.
Yeah, wow.
From the 847, if you want crust, eat toast. And we get that a lot. I think it's the same texter every
wow.
time saying, yeah.
What are they talking about?
I don't know. Here, I got to answer this phone call.
Mm. Okay. Susan, so there's a story. Pardon me, I probably shouldn't be eating while I'm talking.
Oh, no.
This is so tempting. This pumpkin chili is ridiculous. Adam Selzer gave us, and his recipe is available on his website, adamselzer.com. But there was a woman had hid a... Now, see, I may have accidentally, on occasion, shoplifted without wanting to. But I have to say that this... I've never heard of this happening before. A woman hid a gun in her baby's stroller, and... the gun went off in the stroller. So,
oh my gosh!
For all of, and the baby's fine, but you know there are other ways to. You know, I understand that people are a little bit protective of their carry and conceal rights. I'm going to go ahead and say that you cannot conceal a gun in your baby's stroller. I'm going to just.
Yeah, it seems like a poor place for that.
It seems like bad judgment.
It does. Yeah.
Do you know what else is bad judgment? Is not allowing us to enjoy our pizza in squares. I think that's also bad judgment.
We got a text from the 219 from Henry. I cut my pizza into strips. Big, long, one
Ooh.
Thing
strips.
Yep. Cut once down the middle and five times across.
Wow.
She's terrorizing you, Craig.
All of our listeners are. Patrick wants to join the conversation about our pizza. Hey, Patrick, what do you want to tell us?
Hey, awesome show. As always, Patty.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Patrick.
I've got a place in Arlington Heights that I swear if I can get you one, I will bring you their pan pizza, which is awesome. But mm-hmm. it's called John D's. It's on Arlington Heights Road, down the north side, right off of Central Road. Anybody that lives in Arlington Heights will swear by it.
Okay.
That's in that area. Normally, if you call on a normal day, it's a 20-minute wait.
Okay.
If you call on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got a 40-minute wait.
Ooh.
But because mm-hmm. it's that good.
Yeah.
Their thin crust, they do the squares.
Right.
And they kind of get offended if you call. I've got a buddy that always calls a place, and he always asks for triangle cut. You know, normal, like you guys were saying, everybody cuts their pizza.
No, wait a minute. Did you use the word normal when you were describing those triangle slices? I think Patrick used the word normal. I think he said, you know, when you want to get them cut in those normal.
I'm sorry, not normal. Traditional.
No, normal's an okay word to use, Patrick. Normal's a fine word to use.
But if you go to any place, today I went to a place on Cicero Avenue, south of the, what is it? What is it? The canal right there.
Right
off of 9. Anywho, they sell their pizza.
Mm-hmm.
One slice is a quarter of the pizza. So they slice. And then when they give it to you, they cut it in two for you.
Right.
But it's still $5 for that quarter of a pizza and a pop.
Nice.
But my mm-hmm. point was, you know, that's the traditional way. You go to almost anywhere in the United States, you order a slice of pizza, you're going to get it in triangles. This
right.
place, they cut it from the get-go. It's cross, 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 and then spin it, and then cross, 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 and you've got squares. And it's an awesome pizza. If I can, I will get it to you. If not, you guys can only have to imagine it.
All right. I'm going to go find that one out. Gandhi's in Arlington Heights.
It's Gandhi's.
Oh, Gandhi's?
Like G-O-N-D-I apostrophe S.
All right. I'm going to find that. All right. That's an Arlington
Heights. I'm telling you, Thin Crust is really, really, really good because I've been raised on it. I used to deliver for them. I love it. But anybody, I've had people that tell me that they don't like pan pizza. Mm-hmm. I've had them try their pan pizza. They're hooked on it. I literally, just the other day, I had a guy help me because I do HVAC. I'm like, you know, he's my helper. I'm like, hey, you ever had Gandhi's pizza, the pan crust? And he's like, no, I hate pan. I'm like, you know what? Because he helped me out. I was in a bind. He helped me out. I gave him his money for his time. I'm like, I'm going to buy you a pizza. I'm going to buy you a pan pizza small. He ate it that day. The next day, his dad told me, he's like, you know, I just went to Gandhi's again. I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you saying it so sarcastically? He said, because you got my son hooked on this stuff. He loves you now.
Oh, there you go.
I'm telling you.
You've inspired an addiction. I want to say one last thing before you go, Patrick. By the way, so he said pop, and I think that there's actually a map somewhere of how people refer to soda and pop.
It's weird you say that because I have cousins that live in southern Indiana. When I said pop, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. No, it's pop.
I'm like, I want something to drink. I'm like, pop. Give me a pop.
Like a punch in the face. Like you're going to give a guy a pop is a punch.
Right? A soda pop.
You're going to hit him
Patty,
in the shoulder.
Yes, Patrick.
You know, I had a daughter that lived 12 years, and people always told me, God bless you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you didn't get it until it happened, but God bless you.
Aww.
And, you know, you do an awesome show. I love you every night.
Oh, Patrick, that means a lot to me, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I want to take your advice and go get some pizza and pop from Gandhi's in Arlington Heights. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. I feel like we've actually danced enough this show. Ronnie and I were dancing just a little bit, and then I made her self-conscious because I told her about the cameras in the studio.
Yeah, she immediately regretted all the dancing.
But she was dancing very lovely.
She was.
I want to invite you to watch us. That's very strange to say. I would like you to watch us. Would you? Hold on a second.
I want you all to watch me work. Everyone.
I want you to watch.
Watch us on the internet.
Watch. WGNradio.com. Throughout the week, we will pick a news break to work out. We will. We won't tell you which one it is. You have to text us and let us know, and we will randomly pick a winner.
Yes.
And do we have to ask what? No, because we...
Since we're only going to do it once a week now, because we don't know if we have enough prizes
to do
it.
Once a week.
Or twice a week, or I don't know how many times.
It depends.
We're just going to work out randomly. If you see us work out, you can win a prize.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if
I like
you don't
that.
See us, we'll work out. We'll do it again.
Yes. And right. We've been doing a little bit of Denise Austin on YouTube and a little bit of Fit Blender.
Little nice.
Mike Chang workout. And you can actually
the
watch
Victoria's Secret thing. Did we do that?
We did a Victoria's Secret arms. Good. Did you like those?
I did. I was a fan of that one.
Did you get sore at all after?
Nope. I haven't been sore yet.
Your 2 pound weights?
The first one we did with all the members of the game was actually the hardest one with the squatting and everything.
The thigh one with John Tatey, where we had to do like the jumping up thing. We had to reach down like a football player, like you're going to hike the ball and then jump
up. Explode upward. Yeah.
Do you ever do burpees? Do you know what a burpee is?
Is that what we're describing? Where you bend all the way down and come all the way back up?
No, you get down. You get down to
a
squat.
You
get down into a squat, then you pop back into a plank, then you pop back into the squat, and then you jump up.
Right. The plank is the only thing we weren't doing. Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
I have done burpees. Yes.
They're mean. They make me angry.
Suicide sprints are terrible right after burpees too. Actually,
after chili, you never want to do suicide. Now, are suicide sprints like ladders in basketball?
I wish chili was like a move, not just a food, but a move. You know, there was a game that I played as a kid. I was playing basketball. That's not the game, but well, that is the game.
Yes.
And I drank milk right before that.
I'm going to stop you right there because listeners all over. No, they just heard you say a word.
Milk. So
You're saying milk.
I know what I'm saying. It's from the East Coast. It's milk.
Okay, so you said you drank milk.
So we do say some things wrong. I will admit that there's some things that we don't care how it's spelled. Like orange is another one. That's correct.
Orange.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what color that is.
Can you say
I know what color orange is, though. I had an orange room when I was a kid.
How about a pillow?
Beautiful.
Did you have pillows?
It's a pillow.
Did you have a pillow in your room?
I had a pillow, yeah.
This is really mean what I'm doing right now.
So, it is because that wasn't me doing anything on purpose. That's the way I say that word.
There's an ad running, and no. There are listeners that I'm sure have picked. There's certain words like two and tuh. I'm saying tuh a lot and fur instead of four, so it's bothering me. But there's an ad running on WGN where she doesn't articulate important, and she said important and stuff like that. And
it's important.
Important, like it. I don't know why it bothers me. It hits my ears the wrong way.
Yeah, no, and I'm right actually there. Proud of those couple words that I hold on to because that makes me feel like I'm close to my heritage, my New Jersey heritage.
So you drank milk.
Drank some milk.
And you played basketball.
And then I kind of got sick.
Oh, no. That's not a good thing to get sick
right.
on.
It's not
the
great.
Pillar or whatever.
On the pillow.
Yeah, on the whole. Hey, now. I see what you guys are doing.
I don't know how I didn't find out that you said milk. But I don't think milk.
I don't think we've ever said the word on the air before.
I don't think. Now, okay, so this came up.
I don't think I've ever wanted to tell that story until the chili conversation.
You're not going to want to tell this story either. Right. No, it's not a story. This came up on Sunday with Caitlin. And this came up with another conversation I was having with a friend. That the word moist has become very taboo. Like, people can't stand the word moist. When did it stop being the way you describe a cake? I thought the Duncan Hines, like, that was a thing.
Wait, no, I could still describe a cake as moist. You can't even use moist in that.
I don't, like, there are people right now that are getting really grossed out that I'm using that word. 312, go ahead, call us. 312. Please tell me why. 312-981-7200. I did not know. And I think some people said they didn't like it, and then other people went, oh, yeah, I don't like that word. And they made that noise when they found out.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh, I don't like
why is she saying that on the air?
Moist.
Wow. We have awesome listeners. My shirt's a little moist.
Is it?
Yeah, because I was sweating earlier today, so I got to get a moist shirt. Is that an inappropriate use of the term?
I don't know.
Can my shirt get moist?
No, because it's supposed to be damp.
It's damp.
Oh, it's damp. Okay.
No. Damp and moist mean
But a cake is definitely moist. I've even read that, like, I'm getting a nice moist three leches cake. Tres leches, right? Nice moist tres leches cake. Yes? Are we all on the same page here?
No, you're going into Spanish. You poor thing.
Three milk cake.
It was moist.
It was a really moist three milk cake.
We were supposed to talk about something else here.
Yeah,
I sense
I no
it's going to go
happened.
Into what we meant to get to. Yeah, it's totally okay. Don't even tell people what we were supposed to do. Don't tell people.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's not do that. Because we already did the baby stroller with a gun in the undercarriage.
Yeah, that one's, wow.
That's just crazy.
So
scary.
I'm going to pencil this out and just say talk about Craig and saying milk.
Milk.
That was on our plan.
M-E-L-K. And moist. And the word moist that apparently really unhinges some people.
Yeah.
But they haven't called to tell us. They haven't asked me to stop. The definition for moist, I believe, I know damp is one of them. Dank maybe is one of them. Is your shirt dank?
No, that implies smell.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, dank is actually a bad smell from...
Like a basement.
Yeah.
Slightly wet, damp, or humid. Is your shirt humid?
It's a little humid. I mean, yeah, there's been some sweating, and I got this coat on that it's not really needed indoors.
Let's see. Watery is your shirt.
Yeah, I would say a little bit watery. There's
misty?
A little bit of, you
misty?
Know.
Misty? Dewy?
There's no misty.
Or dewiness?
Not that hot.
So if you don't like the word mist, I mean moist, these are the words I'm giving you options to.
I like the word moist.
I love the word moist.
And I feel like my shirt is moist.
There you go.
And not damp.
It's not clammy.
What's the difference between... What's the difference between moist and damp? What is the...
Moist and damp? They're supposed to mean the same thing. Moist,
yeah, I
damp
feel like they mean the same thing.
Slightly wet, damp, or humid. But also, of a climate, it can be dank.
Can I ask you one last thing?
No.
I'll probably ask you more things. Have you ever been corrected with your grammar and then found out that the person who corrected you was wrong? Like, they say, no, that's not the way you say that word. You say it this way. Or that word doesn't mean this.
You checked on
them?
And
then you look it up later and, mm-hmm. And you find out you were right.
No,
how does that make you feel?
No, you know why? Because no one... I'm often wrong.
Oh.
So I take people who correct me and go, oh, really?
And you just go, oh, okay. I just want to know. I want
to
be
sure. It's taken me two days to get to the word apoplectic. And I've used
You're using it beautifully.
I've used it three times today alone. I believe I used it in an email earlier. There was someone sent me an article. I didn't recognize the word. I'm like, I'm never going to use that. I just looked it up. And
I'm never going to say this word to you.
Manchurian, I think, was the word. I'm like, I don't know what that means. It's like duality. I'm like, nope.
Nope.
How'd you sign the email? Apoplectically yours?
That's how you should sign all your emails
I often feel apoplectic. 720 WGN. Now I feel bad because I've been calling attention to the way Craig. I just hadn't noticed it. That's why it caught my attention. My dad used to say "wash." By the way, the war. Did you wash your laundry? And he was from here. It's time now for our 11:30 news. And coming up, we're going to talk about the 7 most annoying phone habits. Give us a call. Tell us what you think is really annoying about what people do on their phone. 773-4. I almost gave away mine.
Don't do that.
That's the second time you've almost done that. And it actually got further along this time. You're eventually going to have to change your personal phone number because of this job.
312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Tell us what you think are annoying phone habits that you've discovered amongst the people that you know. Hey, we're all up. We're all up pretty late. Unless you're listening on our podcast, you can find us on our WGNRadio.com website, iTunes, and on the WGN app, which I have on my phone. And can you watch us on our phones, too?
You cannot watch, but you can pull up all the podcasts. So you can listen live to whatever's on WGN Radio. And if you want to catch up on something else, you can switch over to the podcast button and all the shows will be listed out, including Patty. And you just grab whatever one you want.
All right.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
What did you send me about the can I ask what you sent me on the
I just sent you an email. There are 29 superhero movies coming out in the next 6 years.
29.
Okay,
so
29 planned, confirmed superhero movies, 6 years.
Okay, let's table that for a few minutes because I think we can talk about that to some extent about the trend of movies and superheroes and why I think we're drawn to them, and this will probably max out people's, don't you think? There's going to be a diminishing returns.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point.
You know, I mean, okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, no, let's discuss. Yeah,
let's discuss in a moment because we introduced this topic.
Phone habits.
Of annoying phone habits that people have. And I was surprised that I'm actually guilty of one of them, and I didn't even realize that was a problem for people. But let's start with what you're annoyed by. We have on the line with us, we have Tim, who wants to tell us what's annoying to him, the way people use their phones. What bothers you, Tim?
Hey, I've heard this with many people before, but it's my wife that I always ask her, why do you do it? Mm-hmm. It's usually like when she's on the phone and like talking properly, you know, like ordering food on the phone or talking to customer service or something.
Right.
When she goes to hang up and she says bye, she says, bye.
Bye. Wow, that's a weird tick. Have you asked her why she does that?
I asked her why she does. She says, I don't know. And she just says, shut up. I guess it like kind of bugs her that I ask her, but it's just funny to me. I laugh at her every time I hear it.
Maybe it's like an indicator, you know, for her, because I'm guessing that when she talks to somebody formally, whether it's ordering food or customer service, she obviously doesn't talk to them the same because she's trying to get something. One, when you order food, you want to talk to them in a way that you're sure will get the order right. And with so you use that tone. So it's probably, I wonder if like she's going into like a character voice and her character then does bye. You know what I mean? She has to go into that mind space. Maybe that's.
I'm going to have to tell her that one. Character. That's your character.
Exactly. That's your character. Your character says, bye. I'm not going to do it to you. I thank you so much for calling, Tim. And we will try. Now I'm going to see if other people do that to me too. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Yep. Have a good one.
Have a good morning. Thanks. Let's see one of the habits. Susan, do you have any habits that people have demonstrated that you do not appreciate in using their cell phones?
You know, just the loud talking everywhere, mm-hmm. like, you know, commuting on a train,
yep.
and you get to hear everybody's conversations, and they're just no clue talking loudly and bad conversations. I would say that would be my top one.
That's number 3 on the list. That have you? How many times has a peaceful bus or train journey been spoiled by someone roaring? I mean, like, but I was, when we went to Avalon Park, there was we were across the street from somebody who was on the phone, full on yelling into their phone. And I thought, I can't even imagine how loud that must be. Maybe the person on the other end is hard of hearing. Or maybe the woman was concerned that the street noise, the ambient noise, was interfering with the person's ability. Although the language she was using led me to believe that perhaps she was not in a good mood. She sounded a little foul. Yes. But yes, the loud talking. And do you think it's more annoying when, when two people are talking on the train, they don't generally raise their voices as much as one person talking alone? Or is it more annoying that you can't hear the other side of the conversation? Is that part of it?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to hear any of it.
Yeah, no, me neither. I don't want to hear any of that.
I mean, but do you ever hear people talking on the train and you're annoyed by them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
I'm going to need you to start going up to people and going, but
you guys, this is like a library. Should all be quiet.
I was in a restaurant. First year Griffin was at his school, it was a kindergarten, and we all were kind of getting to know each other, and we all got along very well. We were at the Julius Meinl in Lincoln Square, and there were like 9 of us, all women, and my husband actually, and someone came over and said, "Do you mind? I'm meeting a friend of mine here, and we haven't seen each other in over a decade, and you're all very loud over here." And we were all very like, "Oh, excuse us." I mean, like, I think one of the moms said, "Welcome to being in public."
Right. Why don't you meet it in? At a home.
Somewhere more secluded. But we were, I mean, I know it's hard to imagine. I have a lot of volume.
Yeah, it is hard to imagine.
I have a lot of volume.
That is difficult.
To my voice. Uh-huh. I don't. And the thing is, when you're with a bunch of people, someone, like a conversation that's happening next to you, you then have to talk over them, or if you're talking across the table. And then so it sort of reaches this crescendo of volume that I'm guessing was annoying. But you also get really upset with that person. So that, yes.
Because they're you know, accusing you of doing something on purpose to annoy them. That
right.
You were just doing because you wanted to talk to your friends at a coffee shop.
You bring up an interesting point. You know, I rarely ever leave the house intending to annoy anybody.
Right.
And somehow I manage to do so on many occasions.
One on this list, these people, I believe wholeheartedly, are intending to annoy people when they leave the house. The people who listen to music on their phone without headphones.
Oh, what is that?
On a bus, on a train, just anywhere in public. They're not even listening to the music. They're just trying to make me mad.
They're making you crazy?
It's working.
Because you don't like that music. If you like the music, do you not care as much?
If it was Taylor Swift, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, shake it off.
I would.
Shake it off.
Do it on repeat.
Wendy Snyder had a trip where she was flying somewhere, and there was somebody with they were listening to a movie or something, or, you know, had the volume on without the headphones on a plane. That doesn't seem okay. That's a flight attendant.
That's a faux pas. Mm-hmm.
That's breaking someone's equipment sort of a situation.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem
like bring a speaker with you to plug into the little headphone and then have a speaker.
So everybody can hear?
Right.
That's just weird. No, I was surprised at that. I was with Wendy, man. I would have done things.
Yeah,
like
amen.
Yeah, she was, and the guy was making her feel like she was a bad person. No.
For being mad that he's broadcast. See, that's just not okay.
That's not okay. That's not appropriate public behavior.
I'm choosing to do this.
When people ignore the please turn your phones off warning, that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happens in comedy clubs. Actually, I was at a theater on Friday in Columbus, Indiana, and I think I was about to talk about having my baby, and someone's phone went off, and I was like, oh, that's my OBGYN calling me to say, yeah, she was thinking of that story too. You have to cover sometimes because it is awkward when someone's phone just goes off. And it's just hard, you know, and that's distracting because sometimes people will let it ring. Oh, have you been in church when someone's phone goes off and no one wants to make that move? No one wants you to know it was them, so they just let it go.
We can find the general area, though. That's not a good strategy.
Yes.
I know pretty much whose phone it is.
I was at my mother-in-law's funeral.
Oh, God.
and somebody was playing the piano, and I was like, huh, it's weird that they're playing an Adele song. And it was my ringtone.
It was your ringtone.
It was my phone and my purse. But nobody, because it was already the organ, the piano was playing.
Got it.
It was a little. I think it was masked.
You got away with it.
I did a little bit. It was horrible.
Now, you mentioned one on this list that you actually do.
I do. I always have my headphones with me. I have a Bluetooth, actually. But
yep.
I leave voicemails. How is that annoying that I leave? What? Craig, you can attest to that. I leave voicemails all the time. Why would you have the capacity to record my voice on a part of your phone answering system?
Right.
And I should not leave you a voicemail?
I also have the capacity for you to say all the things you wanted to via visual text that I can just look at.
Because I'm driving most of the time.
I know. For you, it's a little bit different. But people who leave voicemails a lot, I don't listen to a lot of them. And I know I'm not alone. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I have to ask my friends
just
now.
There's so many.
I want to know how many of my friends are indulging me because I'm still leaving voicemails and not saying anything.
I listen to the ones
anything.
You leave me.
I will stop. I will try to do. I try doing voice to text, but then I find myself overmanaging that. Like if it's coming out correctly, you'll see me like go back and star what word I meant to say in the last thing. And I'm sure that you could have figured it out. Have you gotten those from my corrections?
I could have gotten there.
Do you ever get my corrections?
I do, yeah. Sometimes I do that too.
Susan, do you leave voicemails?
Yeah. And now I'm you know, my mind is just completely blown.
No.
I'm looking through my contact list up here. Should I apologize to people for leaving voicemails?
You know? Probably should. Maybe have a whole big meeting with everyone and apologize in a
large group. But then how?
A cake of some kind.
A cake cut into... Yeah.
Maybe it's a cell phone cake that you're cutting in squares.
This could be. And hey, why have your voicemail set up if you don't want to receive voicemails, though?
Yeah.
It's not that you don't.
Your voicemail should say, go ahead and leave me a text because I ain't going to listen to this crap.
My brother's does. My brother's voicemail actually does say that. It says you could leave a voicemail here, but I'm not going to listen. And you could also just text me. That's the voicemail message.
This has to be a generational thing.
I think it is, kind of.
I mean, does anyone under 35 leave you message? Not leave you message? Does anyone under 35 continue to leave you voicemails?
I get a lot of voicemails from people over 35.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to say it's... I mean, when you turn 30, do you think you'll start leaving voicemails?
I mean, there's a lot of people that don't call me at all. There's people that just never call. It's always text, and that's it. There's never any spoken...
Can I ask you a professional question?
Yeah, go ahead.
With other former hosts?
Sure.
Did Gary Meyer leave you voicemails?
I thought you were going to be less specific than that. Did other hosts leave you voicemails? Would have been fine with me. But did specific hosts...
Did Gary Meyer leave you voicemails or texts?
Gary is great at texting, actually, but he did from time to time leave voicemails.
I try to text more than I call.
Yeah.
You know that
Gary, what's impressive about Gary, though, is that he doesn't have a smartphone. He has a dumb phone, is what people
and he texts.
And
he goes through
and
the numbers?
And he texts on that.
He goes through the numbers? And yeah. Does he have a flip phone?
No, it's just like one of those little handheld square little phones.
Oh, whoa. My mind is blown. Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
It's impressive.
Okay, so leaving voicemails annoys people. This is on the list. Texting at the cinema. This is obviously a British list. So texting at the movies. I'll clarify that for anyone who doesn't know the cinema. I think that we got that. So I don't know. Texting K. So if someone when you want to say in the affirmative rather than saying okay, they will just put the letter K.
And now that's actually turned into people who text just an emoji. So you text them some kind of thing, and then they'll text back the, like, thumbs up emoji.
Thumbs up.
And that's all you get.
It's an okay.
So I'm assuming that's okay.
I always think thumbs up is more of a cool. Like, I agree.
No, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be cool. Cool is four letters. Thumbs up is just one.
Thumbs up? What is
it's K.
It means okay?
That's the visual representation of K, I think, to me. Do you thumbs up a lot? Do you text a lot of emojis to people?
I do smiley faces.
Okay.
I do mostly smiley.
Varied smiley faces or always
yes,
the same
I do.
One?
I wink a lot. Now, is winking considered too flirty? If I wink in a...
Well, it depends who you're winking at and the reason why, I guess.
No, it's usually like sarcastic.
And I think it's also the face and how it's displaying the wink because there are flirtier emoji winks.
Well,
like the puckered wink, obviously super flirty.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah, don't ever do that one.
Ever?
Well, except to Steve, husband? Maybe. Yeah.
All right. I wanted to... I don't think because I don't know what it looks like on their phone. On an iPhone, the emojis, I think, translate differently, don't they?
Yeah, and I actually got a text back the other day from someone who said, what was the blank text for? And it was an emoji, and I guess they couldn't even see it.
They couldn't see it? Yeah. I have one that I could send out that has like a – actually, it's cool. It's a – but it's got sunglasses, so like chilling.
Oh, cool. Yeah, right.
But it doesn't turn out that way when you send it to an iPhone. It looks like –
it becomes something completely different.
It does. It's completely different. It makes no sense whatsoever. I do want to mention this before we go to a break. John Tatey just sent me an email, even though I believe I just sent him a text. Now we're emailing and texting each other. John Tatey hopefully will be on this this Thursday, but let's see what he's saying this week. Hey, Patty, yes, we're going to have him.
New segment that we're debuting on the show. Patty reads emails on the air.
We have an email from Summer Austin, who was on Sunday night.
Yes.
Inviting us to go see At the Center. I don't know if you, maybe Thursday night, but no, we're going to Navy Pier to be done up like zombies.
That is happening.
That's happening. We're going to Jen Kramer, the director of entertainment and special events at Navy
what
Pier.
What time are we doing that at?
8 o'clock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Susan, you should come with us too.
Absolutely.
We should do a whole zombie thing.
I believe.
Oh, that sounds like fun. When is it again? Remind me.
Thursday night.
Thursday night, 8 o'clock, zombie show.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so Summer Austin is one of the performers from the Agency Theater.
I remember. I emailed with Summer.
She's great. And their theater, this play they're doing is called At the Center, and it deals with the wrongfully convicted, including a victim who participated in wrongfully convicting her attacker. He was not her attacker,
right?
As it being someone who's innocent.
Right.
And this is going to be it has been playing at the Chicago Dramatist Workshop.
And it's closing soon.
It's closing on Sunday. So I highly recommend the show. It's the show is closing Sunday. There is a matinee on Sunday. But the shows are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30. The theater is at 1105 West Chicago Avenue. You can buy tickets at the center down brownpapertickets.com. And it's really – I really recommend this play. And right now, let's take a quick break. And I think we got to all the annoying habits. It was – saying bye-bye, bye-bye. Oh, when you can't say goodbye to somebody, bye. No, bye, bye, bye. You know what? Bye, 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 bye-bye, bye.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time.
We don't feel like dancing tonight, do we? It's weird. Is it weird in front of Nick? It's a little bit weird in front of Nick. We're not as we went a little late tonight on the list about. But I know I can't. I don't know why. I think that he would look at us with disdain. He would judge us. Oh. That's Jason Skaggs' music for the stories we meant to get to, but we were still in the middle of this list of annoying phone habits, and I discovered that I apparently am I violate one of the things that people hate the most, which is leaving voicemail. I didn't know that nobody listens to voicemail anymore. I don't know what the function is of that then. If you're not supposed to, do you leave voicemails for people?
It depends.
Okay.
If it's a very specific sort of thing,
right.
I'll leave a voicemail.
Right.
If not, they know I called because you can tell.
Right.
You look at your phone.
I missed a
call.
And
you go, oh, they called.
But I always think, like, what if they called on – because I call people on accident all the time. So if they haven't left me a message, then there's nothing they wanted to talk to me about. Oh, they didn't leave a message? I guess they didn't need anything from me. That's it. I don't call them back. I don't call people back unless there's a voicemail. I'm the total opposite. So I'm doing it wrong? That's what you're saying? So if I see that someone has called, that deserves a call back now.
I don't necessarily call people back anyway.
Even if they leave a voicemail?
Yeah, I don't care.
I can attest to that.
I try to stay off the phone.
Right. Well, you're a good texter. You text when you need to.
I text when I need to. Right. I text more than I call.
Yes. And I think that seems to be the case. Craig was saying that he texts more. He only texts. And
my phone is never on. It's on vibrate all the time.
Oh my!
It's either off or on vibrate. There's no ringtone. I don't even know what my ringtone is.
Oh, I'm curious.
Because it's annoying when phones go off.
I agree.
I find it really aggravating. So I can feel the vibration in my pocket, and then I'll look and I'll go, oh, okay.
You acknowledge that it's there. Yeah, Susan and I are flummoxed by the idea that we're not supposed to leave a voicemail. We're kind of torn. We feel like we've been violating.
I don't know. I didn't know that was a hard and fast rule. I just, when I see that somebody called me, either I'll call them back or I won't.
No, you won't.
Depending on what it is, who it is.
Right. Right. I just didn't realize that it seemed – I think it's generational. I think that under about 35 is people not leaving voicemail anymore, and apparently thoroughly annoyed that some of us do. And I'm not
annoyed by getting voicemail. Okay. I don't find that annoying.
Craig seems to be annoyed by voicemail.
No, I wasn't thoroughly annoyed. I think we're exaggerating a little bit.
Well, it's on a list of the top seven things that are the most annoying.
I didn't write that article, but
I didn't. But you agreed with that one.
Yeah, but you could text if it's. You could just text it.
All right. I the rest of these are obvious. people talking too loudly on their phone. Now, what's not on here is I often have a Bluetooth, and so it looks like, when I'm talking, I'm looking right at somebody. Well, Craig knows. Every night I come in here, I'm on the phone with somebody else, and I have to start talking louder so that you know that I'm on the phone.
Right. When you get here, I'm expecting a meeting, and when you walk in just talking like, oh, the meeting's already, we're at a 10. We're going. And then, no, you're not talking to me at all.
Well, now it's hard to distinguish crazy people from sane people on the street.
Which is fantastic. I can be crazy if I want to. And you know what I do now is I now talk about other people who are being rude to me. No, this lady's being really rude to me next to me in the restaurant. No, she thinks that she's the only one in here. I used to do that with the kids. Like if there was a rude child like waiting for Declan to get off the swing or something, she can stand there all she wants. Can't she, Declan? We're not getting off the swing. She's just sitting there staring at us now. I kind of...
God, Patty. A little passive aggressive much?
Oh, all the time passive aggressive. Sometimes I cross over into aggressive aggressive.
Yeah, I'm not like that.
I got a lot of rage.
I avoid confrontation as much as possible.
Yep, I do too, right, Craig? Wouldn't you say I avoid confrontation?
No, you're standing up screaming at people who are climbing on horses out here every night.
It really bothers me. It bothers me that I have no power to get them to stop.
Just chill, man.
No, there were nights. One, there's someone that someone's gonna get hurt, but two, this guy was really pulling down hard on that wing, trying to pull himself up, and it was a big dude. And I don't know what that is. It's because I have to sit here. I feel powerless. I can't get them to stop.
It's not your job to get them to stop, though.
I know. I want people to be better. Can I want people to be better human beings?
It's not going
to
happen.
I can want it.
You could want it. It's not going to happen.
All right. You've lowered your expectations. Everything else is bonus round.
Yeah, forget it.
I think that this works out really well. We have a cynic. We have the passive-aggressive, sometimes aggressive-aggressive nature because I want more from people. I can't lower my expectations.